This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Gently calling out to sea. For now I hang with miracles, so I walk out on the waves. By the moonless night, my candle lights your way back home to me. A boy can dream.
gift that you gave me. Later on that night, watching the sunrise, reflecting in your eyes, and I think that we just might. Everything we missed the first time that we kissed, in the backseat of my car. Go out at midnight, my love at first sight. How I want it to be right. I wanna be the sun in your eyes. I wanna tell the truth for the first time. I wanna know that I make you high. I wanna be more than a face in your crowd. A secret that we share, never seem to care about the things that matter to me. Always will ring true, I try to tell you, but you never listen to me. All the time wasted, cause we never made it. This hole we couldn't see. Now that I'm older, I have my own shoulder. Try on if I need. I wanna be the sun in your eyes. I wanna tell the truth for the third time. I wanna know that I make you high. I wanna be more than a face in your crowd. I wanna shout.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is...
He always does that.
February 21st edition of After Hours. It's been a long week. I'm lucky I remember it's February.
You should get that figured out before we go on the air.
Yeah, yeah.
But the head bob is the, you know...
Yeah.
The head bob with the tongue?
Yeah.
Hey, and I can use my tongue somehow right here.
You can
turn around
every now. Okay,
wait a minute. Your birthday is when?
Oh, Lordy.
He ain't going to help us.
No.
And she ain't going to help us either.
We're beyond help.
We need a good licensed psychotherapist.
Yeah. So, who?
I can recommend several of them.
Did we do the opening?
Yes.
Yeah, we
played.
I mean, did you do the Hello Houston?
Yes, he did.
And all of that?
Yeah, but he still hasn't said who he is.
Did you say who you... Oh. Who are you?
I don't know.
Well, it's not...
I've given my name to so many people these past several weeks.
Oh. Well, stay off the net, then.
No, I've been using my real name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
But just like the net, I've been denied so many times. Mm.
Well, you didn't get denied by me.
I was expecting something from Jimmy to go, what?
You didn't.
At any rate, who are you?
My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
And I'm Wes Laverne, your friendly intern.
Ta-da!
We're sure.
I forgot to tell you something about my little experience buying a car today.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
By the way, you bought a car today.
Yes.
Yes, he got a car today, but it wasn't from me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Where do you work?
Let me in.
Can we say that on the air?
Yeah.
Planet Ford.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're very gay friendly.
Yes, they are. Got a lot of gay employees there.
Obviously.
I'm not the only one.
Well, would you tell them what I would have done to get a lower rate? The interesting part with the new vehicle I got is, like, you know what they say about what used car salesmen.
Oh, yeah.
I got a rookie used car salesman. This was day two.
Oh, he was a green pea,
And
as we call them.
The green pea, yeah.
And the really strange part was he only had one arm.
Yeah.
Really?
So how well do you trust a one-armed used car salesman?
On the second day.
Is that anything like a one-arm bandit?
That's what I thought the first time. Just because he had his coat folded up there.
Interesting.
If I was a little older there, I'd start doing the theme from...
Welcome Back, Carter?
Man with the Golden Arm?
No. Harrison Ford did the remake movie.
What?
Fugitive. The Fugitive.
Why don't we do something different and talk about the music that we opened up with?
Oh, what a surprise.
Yeah. Pink pad right next to you. Can you read that?
Kind of.
I can read his writing fine. And I'm old.
Yeah, but you're also used to reading hieroglyphics. I mean, your birth certificate does say...
Yes, it does.
You know, owl, grass, partridge, Egyptian.
No, it doesn't.
It's on time.
No, it's in Latin.
And it's heavy too. You know, it took a long time to chisel that. You know, they just don't make that kind of detailed workmanship anymore.
No, so what did we hear?
Naked.
Oh, good.
I love Naked. A boy can dream.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find more information about that,
that was really good.
Naked.net. NEKKED.
NEKKID.
No, ED.
It is ED.
Yeah. Oh. You can read his handwriting, but you can't read the big red letters.
Who's looking at the letters? A group named Naked who's looking at the letters.
Oh, here. Okay, I'll make it easier for you to see.
Okay. Oh, okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
Does that help?
He made a little glory hole with his thumb and forefinger.
Oh, my goodness.
He's used to people through that.
Anyway.
Yeah, one of these days he's going to come in here looking like one of our the dog from Little Rascals, and we'll go, what's wrong? Somebody put shoe polish on the hole.
Stop. Anyway.
The second song was from Jay Arsenault.
Yes.
Facing Your Crowd, and hopefully...
We'll get to see him live.
Hopefully he'll be here.
Yeah.
We'll see.
If you can find a place to park.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy out there.
Well, let me put it this way. There was four vultures out there when I pulled up.
I see.
And apparently the vultures called HPD. And... Because parking across the street is okay, I think, until midnight.
Uh-huh. No, at midnight.
At midnight is when it's legal?
Yes.
Oh, it's midnight and after?
Midnight to, like, 4 a.m.
Oh. So well, that's perfect for this show.
To 5, I think.
Well, it was 7 minutes to midnight when I pulled up.
Yeah.
And basically, it looked like one of the vultures. And for those of you who don't know, I term vulture is a tow driver in the Montrose.
Yes.
And there was four of them lined up down here at the end of the street.
No.
HPD pulled up, talked to one of them, and then he pulled a U-turn. And it was a tow truck pride parade down Lovett. And so they got down and they staged in their position. And, you know, so I called over here to the guys and said, if you guys are parked across the street, you need to get out there now.
Were they?
There was a mass exodus out the door to make sure.
Really?
Just to make sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had to park in the station handicap spot, so I walked in limping just in case the cop was watching.
good deal.
Yeah. I'm mentally handicapped. Just go to the archives, and I think I've got proof.
Lots of it.
Well, I went to a show tonight, but I didn't get to see much of it because it started very late. It was supposed to start at 10 o'clock, and... About 10 of 11, they finally started. And yeah,
what show were you going to see?
It was Woodja Flanagan.
Oh, okay.
Who was running for Mr. Prime Choice. And he did a live show, all live singers.
Oh, okay.
And I only got to see two of them before I had to leave and get stuff together for this show.
Whoa. Prepare in this show?
Is there such a thing?
Well, the stuff you're reading, you know.
You mean the stuff that we read every week?
Well, I add to it and take away.
Yeah, usually every once in a while he'll print off an email from like last year and kind of slip it in.
Or one like that?
Yes. See if you're... That was my printer's fault.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to read that one tonight.
Yeah, you can. Anyway.
I have to give it to Chris. He's been reading that one.
It was,
speaking of that, do I have the balls? You didn't give me the balls.
No, I've got them right here.
You've got the balls. I got the other balls.
Yeah.
You want this one?
You got the other balls. No,
oh, okay.
It's your turn to play.
It's your
with
time
the balls.
To talk about the lesbian balls.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But anyway, he's the only one so far who's running.
No, there isn't.
For Mr. Prime Choice.
There's a second candidate.
Who?
I don't remember his name, but I think there's a second candidate.
I think there's only one. There are two people running for Mr. BRB.
No, I think there was...
But, because Don Gill was up on the stage saying that Widget was the only one running so far.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
How about that? That'll be a...
I guess if anyone's going to know who he is.
Well, the contest isn't until April the 25th. So, you know, you've got plenty of time. Mr. Prime Choice... is a contest for men over 40, 40 and over. To show that, you know, you're not washed up in the gay community after age 30, like a lot of people think.
Well, what's that going to say about me?
You're in between?
Yeah, I'm in between.
Well, you're just in limbo land then.
Oh, damn it.
You have to wait till you're 40 to get hot again.
Well, okay. Yeah, well, Chris must be in the same boat, too.
Yes, he is. The Ripcord and staff, in association with Don Gill Productions, are proud to announce the next Mr. Prime Choice Texas contest. The contest will be held 9 p.m. on Saturday, April the 25th, at the Ripcord. In the previous years, Mr. Prime Choice Texas has been instrumental in raising thousands of needed dollars for our community. We know this year will be no exception. Now, eligibility. To be a Mr. Prime Choice Texas candidate, you must be 40 years of age or older. An entry fee of $35 must be paid to PWA HC Food Drive. Your entry fee will be calculated into your fundraising total. You must provide a videotaped or DVD fantasy, which is not to exceed 6 minutes in length. No total nudity or sex acts, please.
So keep it out of your tape, Jimmy.
Yeah. You must have raised funds for a charity of your choice. Entry fee, fantasy video, DVD, and charity funds must be turned in on Friday, April the 24th. See, this is a working title. This is not just you wear a sash and walk around all year. It's the whole idea is raising funds for the community. The attire of the category to be attire. Points will be scored on the following categories. The attire of the category will be the choice of the contestant, whether it's leather, uniform, western wear, formal, swim, etc. Yes. Appearance is 20 points. He keeps looking at me. Question and answer is 30. Video DVD fantasy is 20.
You wonder why he keeps looking at you?
No.
He's got a comment he wants to make.
Yes.
No.
No, okay.
He's saving it.
Funds raised for your check.
I was waiting to realize how much homecoming week is apparently happening tonight.
Homecoming week?
Turn around.
Hey! Oh, my goodness!
Even was in town.
The former hatchlings have come back to roost.
Hatch homecoming. Oh, my God.
I hope not too much.
Anyway.
And they're old enough to molest.
Well enough.
Yay!
For that.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
And they're old enough to molest.
Sally, that was a joke.
So if you're interested, contact the Ripcord.
I was going to say, I
how's that? The Bearing Support Network has a group called the Lunch Bunch for HIV-positive people that gets together at 11 a.m. Tuesdays, and then they go somewhere for lunch at around noon. It's a great place to talk about things associated with HIV or even life issues, good or bad. It also provides a venue to make new friends of like situations.
Don't expect to see Jimmy there.
Because it's 11 in the morning? Yeah. Location is Bearing Methodist Church upstairs in the library, 1400 Hawthorne Entrance at the right side of the building. And since we're, let's see, since I'm the old guy, I get to talk about the spry stuff. Seniors preparing for their rainbow years. These are people who are 60 and over. It's a group that meets at the GLBT Cultural Center, 401 Bernard. That's the Montrose Counseling Center building. And coming up, let's see, February the 28th, details to be announced, but they're going to get a group together to go to the Houston Rodeo. Then March the 12th, 4 to 6 p.m., Irish Feast Potluck. Let's share some food inspired by Ireland. The drop-in center is on the first floor and will be open every Thursday from 1 to 4 p.m. There will be coffee and opportunities to socialize with one another. So keep that in mind, folks.
How many potato dishes can you come up with?
Yes. I see. Oh, I can do some really interesting things with potatoes.
Well, we had an article about one.
I learned that in school.
What kind of school was that?
High school.
Oh.
What are you thinking?
I want to mention this because it's happening later on tonight. On Sunday, February the 21st at 8 p.m. at Tony's Corner Park at ICOH, the Space City Empire, is hosting a show called 8-Track Mind.
Sunday the 21st?
The 22nd.
It's Saturday. So
you're 21st. Still using the old one. It's already happened at Saturday.
That was Saturday.
Does that say Sunday?
That's Sunday.
Jimmy. The 22nd. Look at the calendar over there, sweetie.
Okay, never mind.
It's already happened.
Wes.
Calendar's right there.
Remember, is that the show tonight?
Yeah, remember we talked about the fact that an incorrect copy got released early?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. So. Never mind.
Never mind.
You're next.
In the words of Miss Emily?
And there's no coffee tonight. The coffee pot's broken. My God, how am I going to survive this show?
Well, right. I would have picked you up some instant coffee, but that damn stuff.
Instant? Forget. That's nasty. No.
Sacrilege.
Okay, somebody run over to JR's and see if you can get a hold of coffee.
Well.
Hey, I'm not making the coffee.
I didn't say that.
Right, Jimmy?
You know, I can take Louisiana coffee, but I don't know that I can take coffee.
At any rate, on March 7th, 2009, the fourth annual Assist Her softball tournament at Memorial Park on fields 4 and 5. $200 a team, 10-team limit, no more than 15 on the roster. Must be 18 and over. They will be using ASA umpires. Two games guaranteed in a round robin.
Round
robin. Each team must bring two 12-inch ASA-approved softballs.
Lesbians, bring your 12-inch balls.
Registration deadline is March the 2nd.
Yeah.
Let's see what we
Doesn't
got.
Doesn't he look hot?
Who's that?
Steven.
Both of them look hot. How about that? We'll make that easy. The best of all possible worlds.
Sally's, I'm sure, enjoying the show tonight.
Woo!
I didn't touch it.
Going on.
I
tried
pardon.
To earlier, but he wore tighter pants this time.
That time he got past my knee.
Actually, I got a little further past the knee.
He only made it to the calf. This time. Are you trying to talk?
I'm trying to do this announcement here, but we're being distracted by everybody behind us here. Holy Christ!
So I'm told. You get nailed to the cross at least once, you're going to have a few holes.
Yeah, the best of all possible worlds, huh?
The Houston Pride Band presents... Oh, quiet over there. The Houston Pride Band presents the best of all possible worlds featuring the Bernsteins...
Candide,
thank you. I can't even read that. Tickets proceeds benefiting AIDS Foundation Houston. Special silent auction benefiting the Houston Pride Band... On Saturday, March the 7th at 7:30 p.m. at Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church. That's at 2025 West 11th Street. Tickets are available at www.houstonprideband.org.
And that's more about it.
Oh, a little bit more about it?
Yeah.
Let me scan real quick.
They're doing Candide. The Houston Pride Band is doing Candide. Now, that's something that's usually done by an orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is going to be really interesting.
Should be. Okay. I think I've pretty much hit all this already.
Okay.
Yeah, that pretty much hits all of it.
Okay, cool.
17th annual Sweethearts in Texas Hoedown.
Woohoo!
How many hoes will be in that one?
Get your mind out of the gutter, Chris. On Thursday, the March 19th at 7 p.m.
Oh.
Thursday. Eric says he personally would like to invite you to a four-day event benefiting Southern Country Houston and AFH Camp Hope, a camp for children with HIV and AIDS.
That's Eric Boo Boo.
Mm-hmm.
Stutes.
Yep.
Yeah.
The event is, like I said, the 17th Annual Sweethearts in Texas Hoedown. 4 days of fun, food, and festivities.
My goodness.
It's going to be at the Southern County Houston...
Southern Country.
Yeah, country, excuse me. We'll start on the 19th at 7 and we'll end on the 22nd at 10 p.m. Registration will be at the BRB on Thursday and Friday.
Be right back.
Mm-hmm.
To see more details,
go to www.facebook.com. Oh, there's a whole. That's a hell of a link.
That is. That's tacky.
Yeah. Should have got something better for the link. Yeah. It's they got a link on Facebook that you can go to.
Okay. Southern Country.
All right. Let's read the one in.
I'll try to find a shorter link for you.
Yeah.
You talk about that.
I'll talk about this. Chris will find us a link. Here.
Missing link.
I'll find the missing link. Yeah.
It doesn't come any shorter than mine.
Have you seen a picture of Chris?
Huh?
No.
Like if he's trying, you know.
All right, folks. Mark your calendars.
Neither have I. I just threw that in.
Mark your calendars for the Mr., Ms., and Mrs. Montrose Pageants, Saturday, March the 28th, 2009, at EJ's Bar. That's at 2517 Ralph Street at 8 p.m. For details, you can contact Jeff Wallace or
Rose Smith.
Rose Smith. Jeff, you can reach at Jeff at CarterWallace.net.
Mm-hmm.
And Rose, you can reach at DaddyRose3925 at AOL.com.
Try that again. The last one. Daddy Rose what?
3925.
Okay.
That's what I said the first time.
Well, if you're writing it down.
Yeah, Daddy Rose, 3925.
Okay.
At AOL.com.
I don't know why she's 3925. Daddy Rose would be enough.
Okay,
you
if you go to SouthernCountryHouston.com, you can find a link on there.
SouthernCountryHouston.com. It has a link.
Yeah, down at the bottom.
Now that's a lot easier, isn't it?
Well, this one takes you to the Facebook. Takes you to the event, you know. You can get it through Southern Country.
Yeah.
And if you can't remember SouthernCountryHouston.com, you can always check out LouisWeekend.com and check the members list. You'll find a link to all the member clubs.
Yes, including
who are gearing up and getting ready for Louis Weekend.
Yes, we are
starting on Thursday.
Oh my!
If you're not familiar with Louis, it is a Leather and Levi event to keep the fun going of Mardi Gras for one more weekend.
Yep.
Thursday night we'll be over at George.
It'll be receptions.
Receptions and registration and all
which,
that.
Which means groups serve cocktails.
We receive people.
Different groups. Groups remember. That are members and auxiliary members of HCC.
Which tails are we using?
Friday, we will be at Tony's Corner Pocket. And
at 7:30.
At 7:30, GCAM and After Hours is hosting a welcoming reception.
Yes. God, together.
We're working together.
We're working together. We're going
God,
to
now
serve.
We're starting, serve. I just got the damn song from Grease out of my head, and I just put it back in there.
We're serving two libations.
Ooh.
Yes, one will be pink panty pull-downs.
Those on the beach?
No, those will be the non-alcoholic drinks.
That'd be the one you ignore.
Or Chris will, anyway.
And the other one
will be Jimmy's Bloody Tampon.
Yes.
Again?
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that one.
I didn't name it. Robert Tichy did.
I know.
on Saturday, we will be starting off at the 6:11. In the afternoon, we go to the infamous Ripcord.
Ta-da!
And Saturday night, we end up at the BRB. And Sunday...
Sunday!
Woohoo! Yay!
The show of shows at Rich's. God help us all. And afterwards is the after show, the After Louis program at EJ's.
Ah!
New bars, new faces.
Yes.
You can find out more at Louis Weekend, LUEYweekend.com. If you live in Harris County or one of the counties that touches Harris County,
well, touch
in
you.
A good touch or bad touch, it's $15.
Yeah. And you get lots of receptions. You get dinner and lunch.
I still got to make the damn brownies.
Southern comfortable brownies.
I like Southern Comfort, thank you.
Me too.
I like his brownies.
So if you're outside those counties, it's a free event for you.
Yes.
I've never met a brownie you didn't like.
No, I love his brownies, though.
So, Alexa, go to louisweekend.com and enjoy the fun and festivities. Special event this this year is a women's social.
Women's social, Saturday
Tony's.
Afternoon, right?
No, Friday evening.
Oh, Friday evening? Really?
Yeah, at Tony's.
Oh.
The Whips are hosting that event.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Men are welcome.
Yes. So, looking forward to
Reading that. Why don't I get the stage door folks in?
Sure.
Go for it.
Okay.
I'm afraid they come in there yelling at me where I said, yeah, I just got that damn Grease song out of my head. Embracing Our Differences, the Role of Gender in Relationships, presented by Dr. Pat Love on February 27th, 2009, from 7 to 8:30. Session is free and open to the public, although we appreciate a tax-deductible donation. It'll be at the Mankind Center, 6950 West 43rd Street. As long as we see different as deficient, no one will have the respect he or she deserves, nor will we have deep, meaningful relationships. Come explore the differences between and among men, women, and sexual diversity. Distinguished professor, author, and certified love educator Pat Love, Doctor of Education, is known for her warmth, humor, and wealth of knowledge. Her ever-popular books, Hot Monogamy and The Truth About Love, have taken her around the world. I'm sorry. Dr. Love has gone around the world. Pat's numerous... Yeah. Spreading the good news about marriage and committed relationships. Pat has numerous appearances on Oprah, The Today Show, and CNN, as well as a regular contributor to popular magazines.
And that wasn't the only thing she was spreading.
She's a licensed marriage and family therapist, approved AAMFT supervisor, and past president of the International Association for Marriage and Family Counseling. Once again, that's Dr. Pat Love... February 27th. You know, you can't make up some of this stuff. You know.
It's all right there in print.
Kimberly O'Neill wants to invite you to join her on Sunday, March 1st at 8 p.m. at the BRB for Believe in a Dream for the second candidate show for Miss BRB 2009 and the continuation of raising funds for all those in need. All proceeds of the show will go to the new Kimberly Ann O'Neill Believe in a Dream Scholarship Fund through ERESIS.
Yes. Ooh.
That is the the scholarship.
What are you grabbing him for?
He just grazed.
I've never seen that shade of red.
What the hell did I miss?
I accidentally groped someone.
It's asleep.
No,
and I don't think it was an accident, actually.
Yes.
You're safe. You didn't wake it up.
Wait a minute, you're saying this to him, and he's sitting over there petting his puppy?
I got to burp it, you know.
I beg your pardon?
Can I help? It's not big enough to help.
He put a little divider between us.
We never saw that webcam, did we?
Yeah, we did.
They put in a security camera here.
I'm taking that one home.
The Kimberly Ann O'Neill Believe in a Dream Scholarship Fund for ERESIS.
This That's was, something new this year.
This is something she created after her reign ended with ERESIS.
Mm-hmm.
This event is open to all entertainers. If you're planning on performing or have any questions, email her at... this just doesn't sound right. You can email the Dowager Empress at dbtexasboy@aol.com.
dbtexasboy@aol.com.
Okay.
Texas boy. Gotcha.
That's by Kimberly Ann O'Neill, candidate for Miss BRB 2009, Dowager Empress, XXIV of ERESIS.
That's 24, Chris.
You're going to have to put it somewhere useful.
Hey, if I'm not going to spell out what ERESIS is, I ain't going to spell out what XXIV is.
Ouch.
The Empire of the World, Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc., Houston, Galveston, United States, North America, Western Hemisphere, Planet Earth, Milky Way.
Yes.
And Galaxy. We recently discovered that's what we're called somewhere else.
I see.
Kindred Spirits Foundation announces its spring golf tournament.
I hope this is the last announcement.
You gave it to him.
And finally,
I didn't do this.
You gave it to him. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I'm doing better at reading things. You should have heard me yesterday. God, that was scary. Members of the Kindred Spirits Foundation have announced a new event in keeping with the group's mission of having fun while raising valuable funds for Houston's gay and lesbian community. And, of course, it requires balls. The charity golf tournament and dinner is scheduled for Saturday, April 25th. Yeah, the lesbians bring in the softballs in March. In April, you need the littler balls.
We're not kidding. It says there, if you're the lesbians have to bring two balls each.
Two 12-inch balls.
I read that a while ago.
12-inch balls?
Uh-huh. There's just some big
Jimmy's
balls.
Never seen one that big.
This comes from the person who performed balls 2 years ago. I've got big balls. They've got big balls. And he shines a spotlight on the two disco balls he had hanging from his belt.
You did not.
That picture actually is
it's on Seattle.net.
It's also on my profile. On Yahoo.
And it's MySpace. Space.
I don't have your Yahoo address. I'll have to get that after the show.
Okay.
Yeah, he was showing off his crystal balls.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't anything crystal about them. They were all mirrored.
Where the hell was
finish
I?
That one
I
up.
Don't know.
It's
a
reflection on Jimmy.
It's Kindred Spirits 2009 charity golf tournament and dinner scheduled for Saturday, April 25th at 1:30 p.m. at Bear Creek Masters Golf Course, 16,001 Clay Road. For those of you out there, it's out past the Beltway.
Oh, forget it then.
I know it's scary territory.
No, ain't going.
Is that over at Bear Creek Park?
Yeah,
okay.
Right there.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So basically,
it's over on Highway 6.
I have a friend who lives there. I when I visit, I have to take a lunch.
Is that what you call it?
Jimmy has to pack an overnight bag when he goes out that way.
Well, to make you feel more comfortable, since you're, the only way you're used to leaving the Beltway, there is an airport over there.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
That's a little airport, though.
Oh, forget it.
Hey, for more information, go to kindredspiritshouston.org.
Southwest doesn't land there.
Neither does Continental.
No, well.
Jimmy's lost already.
Yeah. Oh,
are you done?
Yeah.
There's going to be a Girl Scout award for the ball driven furthest into the woods.
How did you find it?
Now, I've done enough research.
That would hurt.
You know, also, depending on the website you check there, of what website you check out there about what happens out at Bear Creek Park, there's a lot of balls being driven in the woods.
Yes, indeed.
Did you not get the
especially
point
at Bear Creek.
Girl Scout.
You got to watch out because the police are right there, too.
Yeah, yep. Somebody told him about those sites.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Who do we have in there? Stage door?
Oh, God. Either you're going to play, or are you going to go right into it?
Oh, we're going to play a song. Know. I got one loaded up.
At this hour, I think we just ought to go right into them.
Satan's butterfly ball?
Hey, he chose that one.
What?
Robert chose that one.
Satan's butterfly ball.
Okay.
I haven't heard it. Robert chose it.
It's a Boy George. Okay. It's a Boy George song.
Yeah, it's a Boy George song.
Apparently the phrase, spin the wheel, make the deal, is our... Stick it in, twist the knob, and let's see what happens.
Okay.
You say Mad Max beyond Thunderdome.
We can either jump straight in or we can do a 3-minute song.
We do nothing straight in.
No. That's true. Slip at the tongue, sorry.
I beg your pardon.
Jimmy Louie's next weekend.
Wait. In the studio right now, we have from Stage Door Inc. You guys are on.
Welcome.
Oh. Hi.
Hello.
Okay, thank
this
you.
This is the chaos we have. Introduce yourselves.
Go ahead.
My name is Mark Anthony. I'm the executive director of Stage Door.
I'm Zach Varela. I play George Peterson in the production of Same Time Next Year, and I'm also the marketing manager.
I'm Kimberly Spears. I play Doris in Same Time Next Year, and I'm the new house manager and board member.
Woohoo!
Yay! Speak the other two.
My name is Dario Faila, and I'm the technical director for Stage Door and also the stage manager. Got to cook for those guys over here.
Mom's not going to talk. She's in the corner. She's the financial manager.
Yay.
We call her Mama G.
Well, you call her Mama G.
Yeah. I love Mama G.
There's other things to call her. She's not going to hit me, is she?
No. She might. You ain't going to hit him, are you?
She gave you the look.
The look.
That's the mama look.
Uh-oh, you're in trouble now, Chris. That's not a big surprise. So, we've got, like I said, Stage Door Inc., the little theater in Pasadena.
Yep.
Not to be confused with Pasadena Little Theater.
Yeah, we've had some people who got confused before.
Oh.
But we've had you on here several times with various plays.
Yep.
And this time we've got same time next year.
Correct.
So, tell those of us who haven't seen the movie on Turner Classic or back when Alan Alda had a career that didn't involve PBS. What it is? Because I mean, I mentioned it to my sisters-in-law, and one of them says, "I think I remember seeing that once." So, what is it?
Basically, it is a couple, George and Doris, and they meet once a year in a cabin out in California, and they basically meet up to have an affair. And they're both married, and they both have six kids between them. And it takes place. Each scene is 5 years apart, so they kind of go through their transitional lives and of going back to college and having kids and losing kids and stuff like that. So it's a dramedy, I think, is what it's called.
Yeah, it'd be considered a dramedy. It starts, the first year is 1951 and goes to 1975.
Yeah.
I'm lost.
There's a first.
So like I said, this is, you've probably seen the movie out there if you've seen it before, Alan Alda and Alan Bernst. And so you've, once again, like you did with Grease, you've got a little twist on the traditional.
Yeah, bit the script of this was written for two Caucasian, a male and female to play the role, and I have switched that, and we have a Hispanic male and an African American female playing both of those roles.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit that changing the character, the female character, is probably the biggest change, because the delivery of the lines without changing or rewriting the lines has a completely different meaning coming from a black actress than it does coming from a white actress. And there's several references in the script about during the Vietnam protests about what was it? The blacks are burning down the cities, and she does a whole thing coming off of that.
My inner Angela Davis comes out.
But that's one of the interesting things you get with community theater is that you don't play exactly by the rules.
Right.
That you can stretch things with how your casting goes.
Right. And the unique thing about Same Time Next Year, it replaced our original show for the season, which was Nonsense. And we ended up having to replace it due to lack of participation. We didn't have enough people audition for the show itself to cast it. And I had Zach around. He was going to stage manage. And then she actually auditioned and got cast in the show when we were trying to search for cast members.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to her. I said, "Would you be willing to take on a show that it's just you and Zach?" And she's like, "Oh, I don't know." And she's coming out of a 15-year stint of not being on stage. And she goes, "Oh, I'm in. Let's do it." And it works.
Yeah.
They mounted the entire show from getting their scripts until opening night in 3 weeks. And don't miss a minute. Or a line, anything.
Yeah, no pressure.
It's a new show every night.
Yeah.
So basically, it's just the two.
It's only those two actors on stage.
The whole time.
The whole entire time.
A lot of talking.
That's. You know, there's no fallback on that. They goofed me up. They said this line. You know, it's just two of you.
Yep.
It's always his fault, by the way.
But I always say the day in my defense. I always come out. We get through it.
No, Zach's been very supportive.
I have to be.
What?
I miss my lines. I got to back myself up. Keep on going.
CYA. Cover your insert A word here.
Or you can say ass.
Okay.
Okay. Yay.
Cover your ass.
Thank you.
Why not? We always do.
I don't want to get you in trouble.
We do a good enough job on our own on that.
On a regular basis.
I know this is the second performance I've seen you when you were in Greece. Where again you broke?
That was my nonverbal debut as a nurse / faculty member at the prom / Burger Queen.
That were was you the one with the hat on my head?
I was.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to be the Burger Queen for just a short stint.
I'm sitting there going, like, what am I supposed to do?
Hand job.
It looked good on you.
And I've seen Zach in playing the Reverend in the Christmas program.
Yeah.
And then what we like to call the bingo caller in Laramie.
Yeah. That was fun.
That was a tricky role where you keep popping out a window, popping out of doors.
Yeah, cuckoo clock. This.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically.
It's like, okay, you say one line here, then run around the back of the stage.
That's how it was.
Another window.
Knock people over.
In the dark.
In the dark.
In the dark, too.
Yeah.
Several nights you'd hear, bam. And you're like, is Zach okay?
Just keep going. Keep going. good times.
But I will say, I loved the Christmas part, or the Christmas bells, was it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The part where you're running around in that reindeer suit. That was a little twisted.
Yep.
And giving Santa lap dances.
Yep. Classic.
He likes the kinky parts.
Hey, that's later, okay?
We'll save that one for Rocky Horror.
There you go. We're still telling him we're going to put him in a corset and fishnets, and he's disagreeing the
Don't
entire time.
Don't think that's going to happen, no.
Yeah, I will.
I kept teasing everyone here when I first mentioned that y'all were going to be doing Rocky Horror later on. I said, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to audition for Frankenfurter or Rocky. And they looked at me like... you're Eddie, get over it.
I've been saying that if nobody else shows up, I'll be the first fat Frank, so...
That'd be great.
But and you're going to be in a corset and gardevoir.
I don't think that's going to happen.
And heels. Your mom will be so proud.
Oh, yes.
Those lashes were made for mascara.
You try to get me in trouble.
Maybe he's born with it.
Maybe.
Oh, wow. Good times.
So now we've learned what his crutch is. The phrase, good times.
Oh, jeez. That's his catchphrase.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, jeez.
No, anywho.
Anywho.
Oh, jeez.
Anywho.
We're just skipping around, aren't we?
Yep. That's our character around the theater.
I'm a character actor. That's what.
Yeah, we noticed. Yeah,
oh, yeah, we know.
Hey.
Oh, what? Did I say
You that? Love every moment of it, don't you? Yeah.
So we just recently... how long in the production are you, and how long have we got on it?
We are in the middle of our second weekend, mm-hmm. and have two more weekends coming up. We're going to the final performance of the second weekend tomorrow at 3 p.m., and then next weekend, Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3, for the next two weekends. We close on March 8th.
And stage door is... This is the part I always love with it. Where are you located?
We're located in the Pasadena Town Square Mall, and the lovely people of Pasadena love us.
As you can tell by all the awards when you walk in the front door.
Lots of them, loads of them.
And we got a new one.
We got a new one, yeah.
We did.
Yeah. A baby one.
It's
we
cute.
Got a second cute. Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
We had a business expo this week in Pasadena for all the local businesses, and then the nonprofits in the area usually get a certain select booth to put out stuff. And Stage Door was actually... awarded the booth for decoing, putting out all the deco for the chamber itself for the event, and they gave us our booth space for free, so we had our own booth.
Oh.
And we won Best Decorated Booth, as well as a half-page ad in the Houston Chronicle.
Yeah.
Full color.
Yeah.
So we were excited.
Very excited.
Very good.
Yeah.
For a new nonprofit, that's
a big
money
step.
In the bank.
Yeah, basically.
Cha-ching!
Well, and talk about Stage Door. I mean, how did it get started? And
Stage Door was my baby.
Your baby.
I've always wanted to have my own theater ever since high school, just because I've seen so many people who do theater but don't have the passion for theater, and they do it for fun, but not as something that they want to dedicate their entire selves into. And to me, the best theater comes out of someone who's going to be completely passionate, wrap their entire selves into a role and into the project. And it's hard to find those kind of people. They're few and far between. I was in the middle of a production, and the opportunity presented itself for me to be able to spread my wings and fly. Thanks to my gracious mother, she helped with this. And so we started and started locating. We figured out what we had to file to become nonprofit, selected a name. Me and Dario spent weeks and weeks and weeks making a design, picking out the name, trying to figure out what we wanted to put in it, what we didn't, writing the business plan.
Lots of arguments.
Lots of arguments, trying to figure out what was going on. And then
I always win, just so
y'all
know.
That's Mama.
Yeah, that would be Mom. She does always win.
Mom's always right.
They call her Mama G for a reason. She says one word and everybody's like, yes, ma'am. And we all exit the building.
No, y'all don't exit the building quickly.
No.
I've been there. I've passed those. I know Mama G.
You know, as much as we're there, we're always saying we're tired. We already go home. Rehearsal ends at 10. We usually exit the building.
Well, 2.
4. Sometimes 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. It's kind of like when we get done here with the show.
We just hang out.
Then they go to the back patio and talk for a while. Then they talk in the front parking lot a little bit. And
that's what happens to us. We get in stages. We get to the shop and talk, or we'll get right outside the stage door itself and talk, and then before we ever get in the car, we have another hour and a half conversation in the middle of the parking lot.
Or we'll go to a local establishment and have pancakes and talk. So,
or to Charlie's, to Nestle Soul House Cafe, and have cookies and ice cream and sandwiches. And
thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie Roche. Yeah. Nestle Soul House plug.
Yum.
Well, we haven't gotten quite that as bad as them yet.
Yeah, we usually don't want to hang around too much afterwards.
Aww. Yeah, when you're my size and it's late at night, cookies come calling. So,
hello.
I got you beat, Chris. We're good.
We don't have the cookie place around here.
No.
So, Stage Door is a 501c3
correct
nonprofit.
Yep. August 08 was 1 year.
Woo-hoo! Yay! Aww.
It's happy. Happy.
And so you're always accepting donations. You have buy a chair.
Correct. We do have our fundraiser still going on to purchase chairs to help revamp the interior of the theater. Right now we're using chairs that are circa 1950, I'm sure, or a little later. We're trying to actually get rid of those, replace those chairs. The chairs are on sale. They're $100, and that buys the chair and the gold plaque that you can put whatever you want on the chair itself. Mm-hmm. Lots of things going on. We have our big fundraiser coming up on March 21st, which is the Second Chance Prom. So if you liked prom and you want to return, you didn't like prom and you want to try it again, or that's you never got to go to your prom, here is your chance.
Oh.
We are holding that at the Kima Boardwalk in the Aquarium Restaurant on March 21st. Tickets are $50 for that, and that is our annual fundraiser we're going to start doing on a yearly every year. So we're excited. It's our first annual.
It is exciting. I'm excited.
First annual fundraiser, and yay, we're excited.
Now, is that 50 per person or per couple?
Per person.
Per person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That comes out, and then it's $500 for a table of 10. So still $50 a ticket.
And there's not going to be a problem with someone bringing a...
Same sex?
Yes.
No, me and Dario will be there.
I just want to make sure I knew that. But I
let know. Someone say something and you'll see a different side of me. We don't have that issue. We are a very gay-oriented business, gay-friendly business itself. As a matter of fact, we have a lot of our board members who are involved, are not necessarily board members, but members of the theater who are gay themselves. And that's one reason why they come back, is because they do enjoy the environment, and we are a family. I tell people that just joined the new show coming up, so when you leave here, you're family. You're going to be back.
Yeah.
I can tell you that now, because all we have is people, and they're not even in shows. They just come up to the theater and hang out, because we just have a fun work environment. We enjoy what we do, and one of the first things I always tell the cast and crews is, I'm probably one of the most laid-back people you're ever going to work with, because this is, you're doing this for fun. If you were getting paid, it's a different situation. I said, but this is not a job. You're here on your own time to enjoy yourself and to have fun. So we want to make it as enjoyable as possible for you to be here.
Like the people at KPFT.
Yeah, like us here on this side.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Except I think there's something that needs to be removed in my... a lobotomy would cure my problem. Let me do this because it's close enough there. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Now broadcasting in high-definition radio. If you want to find out more about what is airing over on High Definition 2, or maybe want to see if putting some content on it, check out kpft.org. Because right now what you'd be hearing is people talking with a funny accent.
Oh.
BBC.
I love the BBC.
The English.
They have the best sitcoms.
I think so.
Yes. Huh?
Personally, I really like the Gladiators.
I vote yes.
Yes, they have their version of, you know, the American Gladiators, and they got some cute guys.
I bet.
Anybody with an accent scores in my book. So, mm-hmm.
Well, one was so cute they brought him over, and he's now doing pro wrestling over here in the States.
Nice.
Which one?
It's on TNA Wrestling. It's Brutus Maximus, they call him.
Wow.
Hi.
So, what is up next after same time next year?
Ooh. Up next is a show that's probably going to have a lot of people excited. We are actually going to stage Sorted Lives in its full glory.
Full glory.
Full glory.
All glory.
In Pasadena, we're doing Sorted Lives. The gay
people
will be
typecasting?
So happy. To be honest, there's a lot of gays coming out of the woodwork in Pasadena all of a sudden. We can't figure out what's going on. Maybe it's us.
Something in the air.
Well, that's always been there.
That's been there since I was a kid.
Coming out of the woodwork, they're being imported.
Yeah, that too.
So we've got Sorted Lives coming up.
Sorted Lives, and it opens on March 27th through April
19th. 19th. 19th.
19th.
Maybe. Right there.
Yeah, April 19th.
There you go. I love that.
I had to double check you sometimes.
It's okay.
Sorry.
I understand. Then, of course, after, some of the other ones coming up that will be of interest in our community.
We have The Wizard of Oz coming up this summer, June, July. And then we go from Wizard of Oz. The next show coming up, our big musical, would be The Patron's Choice, which is Rocky Horror Picture Show, followed by our new addition to the season. We've went crazy and added a ninth show to the season, and that is the Rocky Horror Show.
You just said that twice.
Sorry.
That's okay. Patron's Choice is really Little Shop of Horrors.
Thank you.
And then the Rocky Horror Show.
Yeah, they both have horrors in them, okay?
What, they have what?
Both. What I said.
Horrors, not horrors.
Horrors.
Yeah.
Horrors.
There's
horrors.
Three R's in that word.
Well, it's okay. I only say it with one.
Oh. I apologize.
All day.
So, how do we find out information about y'all?
You can go on the web at www.stagedoorinc.com, and we have our full season on the website, ways to donate, and things that are going on in our production company.
You can also sign up on the mailing list on that website as well to join the mailing list so you can get all of the emails that we get sent out. We do not fill up your email box with trash or junk. On average, we send out maybe 1 to 3 emails a month to let you know what's going on at the theater, upcoming events, upcoming meetings that you may want to attend. Also on the website is the form to become a member of the theater itself and gain voting rights. As a membership to the theater to help vote on some of the large projects that are coming up.
All right. So once again, same time next year, tomorrow, and the next two Friday, Saturday, Sundays.
Yep,
correct.
8 o'clock on Friday and Saturdays, 3 p.m. on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that comes Sorted Lives.
We are excited.
It's a good cast, really good cast.
We have a really talented group.
Excited, really excited.
Super funny.
Super funny. Our brother boy is going to steal the show.
Oh, my God.
He's awesome.
He's great.
And then there's twists in that show as well.
Oh.
Some good twists.
Twists.
Well, I've already warned you about one group that's going to be showing up there at once.
We welcome them with open arms.
That's right.
Link will be so pleased. We have warned him. I told him that night we will escort him out of the theater immediately and make sure that he gets in his car to exit.
Link.
Danny the Jogger.
Zuko. Oh.
Yeah. Danny Zuko.
Oh, okay. I'm like, he had a new character named the Jogger.
Yeah, that's what he refers to him as, the Jogger. You know, the scene of bouncing. Never mind. You wouldn't.
I was behind a set piece, so.
Yeah.
The rest of us in the audience are going this.
Chris, Chris remembers it fondly.
I had a fog machine.
I wish I would have fondled it fondly, but no.
No. Link, if you're listening, he didn't mean that.
The hell I didn't.
Oh, Link likes it.
Link is actually playing the part of Ty in Sort of Lives. He is playing the gay character.
Remember the cute boy that was
Yeah.
The one that's
the one
there.
Oh,
yeah. The one who hid in the corner.
The one that hid in the corner and didn't realize he was on gay radio.
Oh,
that boy was scared.
He's not as scared as he likes to play.
He's undercover.
Ooh, there was a lot of...
Can I put him under my cover?
Depends. You would have to ask him.
We'll wait till we see him tomorrow.
Link, I am not participating in any of this. I'm staying quiet and silent.
Yes, but you're cheering us on.
No.
Obviously, you didn't hear the tagline of Queer Radio with Attitude. As long as we don't cross that line again that gets us kicked off the air, we're perfectly fine.
Definitely. More tantric massages?
Who's fine?
No, we weren't fine, fortunately, because that's a big one. All right, so... Any last comments?
I think that's
final
it.
Words.
Come see the show. It's funny.
Continuing
please
to invite
come
us.
The show.
I'm a ball of energy.
We're working our butts off. But it's the truth.
She's in lingerie. I'm in a tuxedo.
Oh yeah, I'm very pin-up girl.
Yeah.
And your underwear.
And underwear. Nice heart boxers.
If you love wigs, come
hearts.
See the show.
Hearts,
wigs,
not
wigs,
hard.
Wigs.
Hearts.
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 Red
continents.
Hearts.
We have metallic hearts and wigs.
Other than that, Chris, we just want to thank you from the board of directors to
yes.
KFPT for
thank
always
so
inviting
much.
Us out to
thank you very much.
To be on the show.
Well, part of what KPFT, we are community radio. We want to support community theater and to see productions. Like I said, Laramie Project won you in on that part, and to see the community sponsor represented with programming that we'd like to see. That's what we want to help promote, and give those give a chance for. Because, like I said,
who knew?
Who would theater, Pasadena, mall?
Who knew?
Who knew?
You know, people. It's something different,
right?
And
yeah. And one of our especially as executive director, and it being my baby, one promise I can make to the community is that we will definitely keep gay friendly. Theater involved with our theater and in our seasons. Being a gay male and having Dario as my partner, being my sidekick in the business itself, that is one of our big things, to always make sure that we have gay friendly programming, a gay friendly establishment, and all of our people coming in, you're either gay friendly or you hit the back door pretty fast. So
yeah. Thank you. And we
it's
have
theater.
Yes, the first, you know, on saying that, some people don't understand that there's gay people in theater, and I don't understand how.
Wow.
There is a theater where they said, oh, I don't know if they want them there. They're gay. Hello? No. Never mind.
Yeah. It's like the old joke there, the guys in the Air Force who don't want to be around gays, so what do they do? Get in commercial flights, and you're not going to be surrounded by gay people on a commercial airplane? Flight stewards?
Hello?
Peanuts?
It's the altitude that does
peanuts.
It. They're not really gay. It's
alcohol?
Just the altitude.
Oh. Soda? Peanuts?
You said me?
We have got, for someone out there who would like to go down and see Same Time next year, Stage Door has given us 2 tickets to their performance. And if you're out there and you want to go, let's take caller 3 while we're playing the music.
Which performance is it?
Any performance.
Any performance that they want to make reservations for.
So
they've got 7 more?
Mm-hmm. Either tomorrow or next two weekends. Same time next year, call in 713-526-5738. Thank you, Stage Door. We're going to have a little Boy George music. And coming up then, we've got Jay Arsenault.
Right.
This is After Hours.
What's disturbing about distortion? The agenda isn't beauty or ugliness. I mean, that's all your ideas.
And that was Boy George with Satan's Butterfly Ball.
I love that.
That was a great song.
That is from a CD called...
Cheapness and Beauty.
Yeah,
that's it.
I think that is one of the most underrated Boy George albums he ever made. I think that there's some excellent material on that album. Love it.
Yeah.
And that was new song is, Don't Drop the Soap in Here.
Well,
he keeps
getting tossed in jail now.
Well, go figure.
I beg your pardon.
Boy George.
Well, yes. Well, you know how the boy is.
Well,
it's the boy.
Yeah, now he's in, I think the last time I saw it, they put him in solitary confinement because they were tired of all the guards and other prisoners asking for his autograph. He looks so frumpy without all of his old 80s
makeup and
Karma
stuff.
Chameleon clothing and that.
Yeah, he does. He looks like George Dowd.
Oh, yeah, O'Dowd.
O'Dowd. Whatever.
Well, we got something different. Chris is actually in the studio this time.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm on Queer Voices because the other time I'm ever on this side of the glass. I don't like it. I can't push the button turning people off.
That's right. That's why we put you in there, dear.
Oh.
No, I got the button. Ha ha.
Bastards.
And with Chris, we got...
Jay Arsenault. Who's a... Right?
Your first album has one name, and you're now going...
Right, yeah. First album is Jonathan Adam. Next album is J.R. Sinone. The new album's called From the Ashes. It's coming out middle of next month, March. The first single's actually being released in the next 2 weeks. It's called Take It From the Ashes. It's the title track. Shooting the video for that in the next 2 weeks as well.
Ooh, video. Cool.
Yes.
So we're looking, we're going to be seeing you on Logo? Because I know it can't be MTV because they don't play
right.
videos anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it might interrupt the hills or something. hopefully on Logo. I mean, definitely on YouTube. Anywhere that'll play it pretty much.
Yeah.
So,
what does it take to get on Logo? Do you know?
If you go to their website, I mean, there's different venues for submissions for mm-hmm. new artists and things like that. Still muddling through all that and trying to see where the submission part is, but...
then you, if you get on, then we have to have a campaign to vote for you.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Because that's that's they have a lot of the voting things on their click list and all that.
Yeah,
and,
right,
yeah.
You know, it's interesting, you know, you start actually seeing gay artists on Logo now,
mm-hmm.
Occasionally.
No, really, you do. I'm on two different lists for gay music, Out Voice and Out Music, and there's constantly folks on there saying, hey, please vote for my song, you know, it's on Logo.
Yeah, and I've had to check a couple artists that I've seen on some of those lists, and it's like sometimes it's easy to tell if they're, you know, a part of the community, and other ones it's like, can you say something in there? You know,
right?
You know, little hidden icon. You click over one of the corners, and all of a sudden, a little rainbow flag pops up. Would be a nice touch. You know,
ding, ding, ding.
I understand you keeping it on the down low there, but you know, give us a hit on it. So, how long have you been in the music?
Well, I've been singing since I was a kid, about 5 or 6 years old. Did a lot of choir stuff in school and church and things like that, and did a lot of musical theater in high school, and really didn't start writing until I was in high school, and just kind of mostly just lyrics here and there and songs occasionally, but I didn't really get serious about it until about, I don't know, it's probably been about 4 or 5 years ago. I was actually a vocal performance major. I started at LSU, and I transferred over here to St. Thomas, and about halfway through the program, I just kind of realized that, you know, I was good at singing opera and classical and musical theater, et cetera, but it wasn't really where my passion was. So I really just kind of took a step back and really took some time to focus on my writing and started working with a different vocal coach and really just got more serious about that aspect of, you know, my music and my passion, and worked with a couple of different producers locally and through different contacts and networking, et cetera. I've been able to network with other producers up in Dallas and Los Angeles, and have put out the first project this past year with a local producer, and the new project that's coming out with a producer out in L.A. I think we've really hit the nail on the head with the sound that we've come up with for this album. So, I mean, basically we've just kind of reached the point that we're at right now. So I'm just trying to get everything out there and hopefully get some bites from the industry. So we'll
see. What kind of genre do you... Because we have the first CD and we played it, and mm-hmm. it's kind of... I don't want to make it sound like it's a bad thing. I hear a lot of 80s electronica in that. is that the genre you're going for? Is that just...
Well, I think... I mean, it was more of a starting point, mm-hmm. really. The producer that I worked with, Brent Argovitz, who's actually involved with the band Real McCoy back in the early 90s, also worked with a lot of the groups back around that time, Hathaway, Exposé, more in that kind of genre. And he kind of stepped away from the industry for a little while. And a couple of years ago, I had done some demo tracks, posted them on my MySpace page, and he had heard some of the tracks. He emailed me. He's like, I really like your voice. Don't really like the production around it, but I think, you know, I'd really like to work with you. So, you know, it was just kind of a random email. I'm like, okay, who are you? And so, and he, you know, I'm like, well, what have you done, et cetera. And he comes back with the email listing all these bands that he's worked with. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, that'll work. sure, I'll work with you. So, and I mean, you know, we had some, you know, had some great production ideas and song ideas, et cetera. But as you said, it does have that kind of 80s, like early 90s kind of sound, which I think is kind of, I guess, taken over from where he left off originally. Yeah. And, you know, and I take a lot of inspiration from that era as well. I mean, as far as music and everything, I'm some of my favorite bands, I mean, like Live, Vertical Horizon, Better Than Ezra, Cowboy Mouth, bands like that are really where I take a lot of my inspiration from for my music. But with the new album, I think it's definitely taken a step forward in evolving into more of a unique sound, more of a marketable radio-friendly sound. It's definitely more kind of a mix of rock with, I want to say, hip-hop undertones as far as the beats, etc.
Yeah.
But, I mean, definitely more, I think, more relatable to a lot more people, so.
Because, like, one thing, one of the songs we opened the show with, A Face in the Crowd, mm-hmm. it was one of those songs, what hit me most with it was if you're gay, especially a younger gay, and you're listening to that song, you can really hear yourself there. You don't want to just be a face in the crowd. I want to be your connection with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it also works as a mainstream message. It doesn't, you know, if you understand the undertone of it, you can really relate to it.
Right.
So it's one of those that doesn't, it's not going to get shelved on the, you know, pigeonholed with being
mm-hmm.
a gay song, but if you understand the concept of where it's coming from,
yeah.
that you can get more out of that song. Is yeah. that something you try with what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of with my writing, a lot of things that I focus on is really trying to make it as relatable to as many people as possible. A lot of my songs, I really don't focus on any kind of gender references, actually, if you notice, in a lot of the songs. Some of the songs, yeah, but I mean, I definitely try to make it more universal and more relatable for everybody in any way, you know, in any aspect that they take from it, I suppose. I do focus on that, but I also focus on trying to really, you know, focus on one idea and expand upon it, and really a lot of with my writing I try to, it's a lot like therapy for me in a lot of ways. It's really a great outlet for, you know, working and processing through things that I've gone through, things that I've heard other people, my friends, etc., going through, and really just trying to get the idea out there and say, you know, to people that, you know, hey, you know, I've gone through this too, and, you know, I can relate. So,
do you consider yourself a gay artist or an artist who just happens to be gay?
Well, I would definitely have to say that I would consider myself an artist who happens to be gay. As far as just, I mean, in my general view, as far as my sexuality, it's my business, and, you know, if it's put out there, it's put out there. If it's not, it's not. But, I mean, I don't want to base my creativity on the fact that I'm gay. I want to, you know, it is a part of me, it is a part of who I am, but at the same time, I mean, I'm an artist, and however I express myself is going to be how I express myself, and I don't want to have to base it on, you know, people judging me basing on the fact that I'm gay. And I just want them to hear my music and my art and then, you know, say, oh, well, yeah, he happens to be gay too. You know, I don't want to have to go around necessarily waving a flag with my sexuality in order to get attention.
Yeah. That's one thing. I mean, nowadays you see, you hear a lot of this, you know, especially, you know, when you go through the American Idol type stuff you hear. And, you know, any of the singers that come along, you know, that's one of the questions they have. And especially when you're talking with, being a songwriter and putting yourself so much into the music, everyone's going to want to know where that root comes from and where that, you know, what caused you to have to think that way and feel that way. And, you know, then they're going to start overanalyzing this stuff and say, well, he didn't say it was she who broke my heart. It was someone broke my heart. And then, you know, they start overanalyzing and start tearing the stuff apart. And it was a curious thing to find out of how you look forward onto this, that, you know, this is, you know, because you're looking at this as not just a hobby for right now. You know, right. this is something you want to get into, and this, you want to be well known. And, you know, the first steps going through with Logo, people are going to assume stuff off the bat and see where this, where your career can take you with this music.
Right.
Wes, do you have another, one of his songs queued up?
I sure do.
Okay. Let's give you another little taste of J.R. Sino, and
yeah, we're going to do 15 minutes.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment. Back. That was J.R. Snow with 15 Minutes of Fame. We have him in studio here with us. One thing that was interesting, you said that in a way your break came from the fact that you put some of your music out on MySpace and a producer came across it.
Right.
it's one of the interesting things you see with MySpace of, you know, it's not just for the online predators anymore.
Right, exactly.
You know, you got picked up on off of MySpace, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
On this, how often? I mean, you have a lot of connections with other people with MySpace. How often are you seeing the artists come out through an untraditional means like this?
Well, I mean, I've met and worked with a few other local artists. And it's amazing how, you know, the more that you're in this industry and the more that you work with different people and different marketing, you know, aspects, et cetera, and different producers, you realize how much the industry and MySpace itself has become such a machine. I mean, there's so many different ways to get your name out there and to get more hits on your page, to get more plays on your page. And really, it's amazing how record labels, major labels, etc., pull from MySpace so much. I mean, once you hit a certain point in the number of plays on your page, the number of friends that you have, you know, all these different aspects that these labels look at, then they start to pay attention to you. And there's so many different programs that you can run to get more hits on your page, to get more plays on your page. But as far as unique instances, I myself haven't directly, but different artists that I've met, et cetera, like one of the girls that I've worked with on her album that she's coming out with, Jessica Ferguson, she's another local artist. She has a placement right now for one of her songs in the movie Mall Cop that's out right now.
Oh.
Another artist that I've worked with, Kyle Cousins, he has a possible spot coming up on the Farrelly Brothers' new show that they're coming out with on HBO. I've done submissions with one of the producers that I work with, who's a staff writer for Universal Music, who does a lot of work with Happy Madison Productions, Adam Sandler's company. He's done submissions for some of my songs for some of his movies, like the one that came out in Christmas. What was it called? Bedtime Stories.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, really, it's amazing. I mean, there's definitely the artistic aspect of the industry still there, but it's so funny how it's more about statistics, more about people that you know and networking, and really just trying to, you know, find that one connection that's going to get you where you need to be if you want to move forward in the industry. It's just, it's mind-boggling at times.
Well, I mean, when you consider the fact that, you know, MySpace was originally designed as a social network, and you can, you know, you click on yours, you find your friends, and you look at someone else, and you can, you know, map your way through there. And I can see from the, you know, the record producers, it's free research.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if people are clicking on this stuff, and, you know, it's not in, you know, it's not something that you're easily inflated that you can, you know, say, hey, I've gotten, you know, 500 downloads or in one day or all this. You know, they can see the statistics that come from MySpace and see that, you know, mm-hmm. there's people on there listening and checking this out. We'll keep talking about MySpace. What is your MySpace?
Well, you can check out some of the new tracks along with the new single, Take It From The Ashes, on my MySpace page. It's myspace.com/jayarseno, JAYARSENO. And I pretty much log on there just about every day to basically just update, and I blog on there as well, do a video blog as well as just a blog that I write as well. And basically, next couple of weeks, you'll be able to download the single from there, as well as the new album next month. So, yeah, just head over there and check it out.
Now, the first time we ran across you, we were doing live performance as fundraisers here with some of the chords. And I know you participated in my event that I had back in January.
Mm-hmm.
What other sorts of, where else can people see you?
Well, I've done a few other events with ICOH as well as some of the other courts. I do actually have an event, two events tomorrow. Showcases tomorrow at the Laugh Stop over on Juan Allen Parkway. The first one is at 2:30 p.m. It's $10 admission at the door. The next one is at 7 p.m. Again, $10. It's through Entertainment Arts Projects, which is basically the artist development program that I participate in through my vocal coach's studio, Tom McKinney. Basically, what Entertainment's Arts Project is an artist development program locally here in Houston for basically filling the need where most major labels don't put their efforts forth anymore in artist development. It's basically, as I said, with labels, they're mainly looking for statistics, etc., your fan base. They want an already finished product. They don't want to have to put any more effort into it, and they have to. So basically, that's what this program does, is fills the spot in between where you've reached a certain point in your vocal abilities and your career, and there's just the missing piece in between being signed to a label or moving forward in your career. Well, basically, my voice teacher, along with several other producers, booking agents, have developed this program to help artists that are, you know, have the talent, are on the rise, and basically just need that little bit more of a push. So basically, they've been putting together these showcases. They have one in the Woodlands a couple of weeks ago. They have one tomorrow, as I said, at the Laugh Stop, and they'll be having one in Dallas next month on the 22nd. So, but I'll be performing in the one tomorrow as well as the one in Dallas next month. So, again, at 2:30 p.m. at the Laugh Stop, and at 7 p.m. at the Laugh Stop.
When the CD comes out, is there going to be a release? We're going to be seeing it at the local record. I guess you can't call it a record store anymore.
technically,
well,
yes.
Well, no. That's a record.
Local music store.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I'm actually, I'm in talks with, possibly doing a release at, Cactus Records, actually, locally. Still working with my producer and manager to put together some other release, parties, etc. But still working out the kinks in that, but I'll definitely keep the MySpace up to date on that, and, keep y'all up to date.
Well, we're glad you can come in, and hopefully, you know, this will be... Since we've ended your radio virginity here.
Yes, yes.
And next. That's what the show's all about. It's all about ending some sort of virginity.
Absolutely.
you know, hopefully this will be the, you know, start to bigger and better things. And when Clear Channel comes knocking, you don't forget where you started.
Absolutely.
Here.
Of course.
And so, once again, the new album coming out. What was the name of the album again?
From the Ashes. By Jay Arsenault, coming out in March, probably around March 25th. And the new single is coming out in the next 2 weeks, Take It From The Ashes. And along with the video, look for it on YouTube. And the album and the single will be available on iTunes as well as other download sites that are yet to be named.
Oh, yes. Once it gets out there online, someone will steal it, move it around.
Absolutely.
And
that's
MySpace,
what we depend on hackers and all that.
MySpace.com/JAYARSENAUT.
Yes.
JAYARSENO. I didn't have your card in front of me to steal the information that.
It's all good.
We've got another one of his songs to.
Sure do, and I got a few others after that, so
okay.
We can take a little bit of break.
Well,
unless you want to talk to Jay some more.
I think, I don't know if we've, I think we covered. Now we got Gigi out there.
Uh-oh.
And Roundtable.
Okay, so do a few songs and then
we'll play a few songs there. Give you another listen into.
Awesome.
Give you a reason to, you know, check out the MySpace and get ready for that album to come out and, you know,
and then get
you ready for tomorrow over at the Laugh Stop.
Okay. And
yes, sir.
Honor of having the real Jay here, the real me.
Ah.
Show you mostly I see. With my eyes I see you standing there without a care. With my heart I see you wanting more of what love has in store. I know
John, Jason and DeMarco, This Is Love.
Oh.
And okay. Before that was J.R. Snow,
mm-hmm.
And The Real Me, with a great interview by Chris before that.
Yes.
So, and we got now Jimmy in the studio with a pair of good-looking men over there.
Where? He always says that. He has always said that, not knowing the full breadth of his sexuality.
Mine or theirs?
David and Steven are here.
Hi.
They are ex-hatchlings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm down from Dallas.
And you've left us and gone off to Dallas and might be going elsewhere. Who knows?
Could be.
Where?
Yeah. Huh?
Where?
I mean, we got to talk about that later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to talk about that on the air. Okay. What we're going to talk about is Grand Marshals
for this year 09
Pride Parade.
Mm-hmm.
The honorary Grand Marshals are my parents.
Yes.
Mike and Linda Bratson.
They have been nominated. I was on that nominating committee. There's lots of people actually nominated this year.
Good.
But I want you to talk about your parents, because that's... I know you've talked about it before, but, you know, it's a great story.
Come a long, long way.
You really have. You are from where?
I'm from Santa Fe, Texas.
Yes.
Down by Galveston.
Yeah. Santa Fe.
It wasn't really okay to be gay. I didn't come out in high school. I came out afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And it was back and forth. My parents kind of figured out I was. She was asking the most inopportune times.
I thought you found something.
Well, we went to Rich's,
mm-hmm.
and then there was a guy that worked for us. I actually got in the job with my parents. And then he came back and told his girlfriend and then told his boss, and it got back to my mom.
That you had been to Rich's.
That I was gay.
Oops.
And so they told him as more of a, hey, you need to know what your son's doing type thing, for a safety thing for me. And she took it, though, oh, my God, my son's gay.
Yeah.
So we went to Exodus for...
Oh, my God.
About a year.
Yes.
Almost a year.
Yeah.
So that was... I'd see the therapist, and then every other week they would see him, and then the three of us would see him. So it was just milking us for all it's worth, money-wise.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad.
You gonna tell that story about that dinner?
Which dinner?
With your therapist.
Oh, God.
I'm
of the last ones. I forgot his name. Anyway... But it was like the head of the Exodus group here for the Southwest Coast or
yeah.
something. And they'd set up this for an Asian group to come in for more of Christian therapy stuff for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was completely about me being gay and turning. And I was like, "You really? You hijacked these 100-something Asian people and you're talking about me being gay?" This whole evening was playing against... And I was like, oh, really? This guy walked in.
No.
Yeah. I mean... They were there for, like, Christian therapy, and so then they were talking about homosexuality. I'm like, what? Really? And this guy walked in. It was like the gates of hell opened up. He's just flaming, walking across. He was like, I'm straight. Yeah.
Yeah, Mary.
So, uh-huh. Anyway, we went through all that.
Going a whole year
right.
in therapy, didn't that kind of screw you up?
I had already been out in the gay community quite a bit,
uh-huh.
and my friend Clay, he's probably asleep right now, but with Riches and back and forth, so I was very okay with myself. I was more going to humor them.
Oh, okay.
By that time, I'd already had a boyfriend, so
okay.
I was very okay with myself.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
But Clay and I went to Austin to do a hate crimes march,
mm-hmm.
and I met Jim and Sue Null.
Yes.
Which they're icons. They actually moved to Atlanta.
Yes, they did. Yes.
But that's...
Somewhere. No, not Atlanta, not like
Atlanta.
North Carolina
yeah,
or something
yeah.
like that.
They're having difficult times there, but
yeah.
anyway. So we got to talk about PFLAG. PFLAG, Parents, Family, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays in Houston. I was like, oh, my parents will never do that. No. But so she's like, oh, well, let me send you some information. So I'm like, mm-hmm. okay. So I gave her my information and stuff, and then a couple of weeks
like,
later.
That's
so,
Sue.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
that's
let
Sue.
Me get it. Let me do coffee with your mom.
She doesn't accept all that.
That's okay. Yeah, it's no big deal. We can do this.
So I got this big envelope in the mail. I'm like, what is this? And I pull it out. So I'm like, okay. So I just stuck it in the truck. We were having a disagreement one night, and I just slid the stuff across the table. I said, I'm going home. I'm finished with this. About 30 minutes later, they called, when's the next meeting?
What?
Yeah.
In 30 minutes?
Right.
After a whole year of Exodus crap?
So that's kind of their whole story of things, of how fast they move.
Wow.
So I was like, wait a minute, who are you on the phone? You
know? What have you done with my parents?
So ironically, the next weekend was the first PFLAG meeting when mm-hmm. they were meeting at the church downtown.
Yeah.
Still. And what a moving story about
yeah.
what was going on. And so after that meeting, that was May. June came around. We met in June. And then the end of June was the first Pride March.
Yeah.
And Mom and I marched in that parade.
Yeah.
And then, so by the end of it, we were all teary-eyed and everything. And then we were honorary Grand Marshals. The PFLAG as an organization mm-hmm. was Grand Marshals. That. So at the end of the parade, we kind of pulled off to the sideline and watched everybody, because we were way up in the front, mm-hmm. so we watched everybody come through.
That's the cool thing about being
yeah,
yeah. yeah, you actually get to see the parade.
Everything.
Yeah.
After so many years. And then one of the, I forget which organization, they threw out a safe sex pack. And my mom picks this up. I turn beet red and I'm like, oh,
Dina, are you having safe sex?
She hands it to me and she says, here, you can use this more than I can.
Oh.
I'm like, wow, we've come full circle.
Yep, yep.
So the next month, the next year, P-Flag, they were going back and forth about different ideas of doing for the float.
Mm-hmm.
So mom and dad, they get together and they're like, we can do a float. We can do one really nice. So, sure enough, we built one right in the middle of Santa Fe. Well, at the time, it was way back in the back corner of the house. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about it. And then every year since then, it's been a little bit closer. A little bit closer. And their office is right in the middle of town. It's a block from the police department. It's a block from the EMS station. It's right in the... So, the next... I mean, we're 7 years now doing it.
Yeah.
We've been in P-Flag 8 years, and this will be the 7th year we've done the float. And everybody in town knows there's a float that shows up every June. Nobody asks questions. They come in, they help build it, and it disappears for a year. Our mechanic a couple years ago came in and built the disco ball on mm-hmm. top. But they've done.
He did
so
not
much.
Think this was odd.
Right.
You want me to build a what?
It was fun. We were there in the, the most butch macho mechanic. I mean, girt, grease, everything up to the elbows. And we were there in the office, and all the guys, they have about 15-something guys who work for my parents. And they're like, we're all in there, and Milton asked, so all the guys tell me, I have to ask you what the float is. And as soon as he said that, it was like, whew, everybody left. And it was just me and Milton standing there. I mean, it was a dive to the doors.
Oh, that's funny.
So I'm like, well, the gay pride
Milton?
Parade. Right. He was like, well, how'd you get involved in that? I'm like, well, I came out a couple of years ago to mom and dad.
Came out of what?
But
how did he take it?
He did well, yeah. And then after that, that's when he helped us with the disco ball. So we're trying to build it because disco balls normally hang, and we wanted to make it where it's vertical, where it stood up. We were like, oh, you got to put a little collar there and put set screws on
it. Oh, yeah.
So I was like, wow, you know, this is really working. But, I mean, since their work with P-Flag, they've done bunnies on the bayou mm-hmm. several years. They've done... what's the one at George R. Brown for the... They don't do it anymore.
Empower?
Empower.
Yeah.
They've done Empower several times. Mm-hmm. And then every year, they do the International Festival.
Yes.
They man the booth 2 or 3 weekends. They're just diehards for that.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and they've been on the show twice.
Yes, they have.
After
yes,
they have. Other, yeah.
Thank God you're gay. Otherwise, your parents wouldn't have a social life.
So what are their names so people can vote for them?
Mike and Linda Bratson.
Okay.
The only couple on there, and they're under the honorary grand marshal since mm-hmm. they're straight.
Yes.
And, yep.
That's what the honorary is for.
Right.
For straight friends. And your parents have been there for us, for the community, for you, for so many years now, because they are active in D-Flag.
Yeah, they've been very active. Mom's been the librarian. She's been on the board for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's with her. She's done some medical things and stuff, so she's resigned off of it.
Well, the longest I ever lasted on a board was 4, you know, and just like ran off screaming after that.
Yeah. Well, it's with volunteer work. It just really drains you. But,
sure.
Yeah. And then Dad and I have co-chaired the P-Flag, the building of the float
mm-hmm.
position chair. For the last 8 years.
Yeah, your parents are really, really nice people and very brave.
Yeah.
To be doing what they do in Santa Fe.
Mom was she went to she finally got her gear on the gay movement, and she kind of moved into her pride stage.
Mm-hmm.
She went to the counselors at Santa Fe High School and was like, "We need a GSA." I was like,
oh,
wow,
God.
Mom, GSA in Santa Fe, Texas. So.
Yeah.
She got a few with the counselor's help and a few of the students. She got a GSA in there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. That was probably about 3 years ago.
So
now that's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
did you ever think?
Not in Santa Fe.
Yeah. Yeah, for real.
Going from my parents will never do
you know,
that.
They could put one together, but who would go to it, you know?
Right, right. I don't know how many people attend, but, I mean, the school, I graduated with 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
It was right about 90-something.
Yeah. More.
It's kind of a small school, but, yeah, to have a GSA in.
That's pretty neat.
Yep.
That's pretty neat.
So.
Okay, the Bratsons. Vote for them.
Vote for them. Pride.org, Pride Houston.
And PrideHouston.org.
PrideHouston.org.
Yeah.
And there's a link in there, and it you can read the bio over all the different people
mm-hmm.
to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the second page, and then you can click
yeah.
the vote.
Yeah.
So.
Which is cool.
Yeah, it is. This I think it's the first year they've done that.
This is, and as a matter of fact, they sprang it up on us kind of suddenly. It wasn't going to happen.
Ah.
And then all of a sudden, there it was.
I'm glad because now I could vote for him in Dallas.
Yeah, cool. So who'd you bring with you?
Oh, this is Dave.
Yeah.
Used to be a hatchling long time ago.
The untypically quiet one here.
Well, Stephen had a really interesting story.
And you helped with the dinner part. Yes.
Yes. I was just thinking, like, if his parents become, you know, honorary grand marshals, that'll be the great ending to a really good Lifetime movie. And get Jake Gyllenhaal to play you.
It would.
Oh, that would be hot.
And Hugh Jackman can play your dad.
Ooh, that would be hot.
But you've been a good personal friend of the family for years, so mm-hmm. who would play you?
I don't know. Let's see.
You play yourself.
Seinfeld. I don't know.
Leave Schreiber. He's good.
There
I like him. He's big. He's going to be Sabretooth in that movie.
Mm.
The Wolverine movie. Mm. Anyway, he booked it. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, me
early
with
American
my
history.
Yeah.
But then we have Chris over here in the corner.
Yeah. My friend Chris was the was the president of the GLBTA at A&M for a couple of years. You know, built it up. He's quiet.
I
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
Need to interrupt for just a second.
Oh. Yeah.
Station ID.
Oh.
So, this is Queer Radio with Attitude After Hours on 90.1 KPTF. Try that again. KPFT Houston or 89.5 in Galveston.
Yeah.
Or as always, www.kpft.org on the World Wide Web.
There you go. You almost got that down.
Almost.
Yeah.
If I can get my tongue to work right, I need to get more practice.
Oh.
You always talk to Jimmy about that.
Jimmy's the master at it.
Yes.
That window, too.
Oh, he remembers that.
Am I red?
Yes. There are times in your life when, in an instant, someone who has looked up to you just
and
loses
it. And that's a long
it.
Life. That's a long,
just
long,
loses
long life
it.
For Jimmy.
And I was... I was being entertained by a gentleman for my birthday. And
which one?
I looked over at Stephen, and he was this look of horror was on his face.
Oh, was I there?
Might have been.
Oh.
It's absolutely look of horror.
It wasn't horror. It was more like, you can do that here?
The time. Look at all the time I've wasted.
Stephen's like, I need to apply for this job.
No, that's not what he was saying. No, no, no. There are parts of the Pride Parade that can move you to tears.
Yes.
And one of those is when the Hatch Group walks by. And even more than that, I think, is... when Texas A&M go by, if they're in the parade.
People. Who? A&M, yeah.
Really? They've
yes.
been? We have?
Yeah, in the past.
Okay.
You can just... There's... As they're marching by, and it's never a huge group.
Yeah.
There's a kind of a quick hush, and then applause, and tears, because it's not easy being gay at Aggieland. And so
now both of them just graduated from there.
I all the things that I've done in my life. Not those things,
not people.
You know, I being an ACT UP was no big deal for me. Being, you know, in any other organization was no big deal. But I don't think I would have the courage to be gay at Texas A&M.
It's like living in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Would you like to say a few words?
I don't think he wants his voice recognized because of his job.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible, though.
Yeah, coming between Houston and College Station, it's just like going between two different places of, you know, in time of... I had a friend who came from New York, and he teaches and he works at A&M, and he's like, I'm from New York, and he's like, I don't... You know, you don't see glory holes anymore. But can I say that on the radio?
Yeah.
Okay. he's like, I see them all over the campus here. And it's like, I had a queer history class in New York, and we would get on the bus, and we would go visit, like, these you know, places that no one goes to anymore because there's gay bars, because there's, you know, community
That's
centers,
right.
because
That's
gay,
right.
gay men can live together.
That's
and
right.
And he came down to A&M, and he's like, and I can't believe this.
It is like men, the 50s.
He's like, you know, they would put up new stalls, and within 24 hours there would be new ones drilled with mm-hmm. new phone numbers and new dates and times and everything. And
yes.
it was like, this is what people have to do to meet here.
That's what,
you know, it's not
when I was
everyone.
A teenager, that's what we had. That's,
and I mean it's you know, it's getting better like everywhere else, but mm-hmm. there's still like mm-hmm. a good chunk of this community
mm-hmm.
and that's their interaction with other people like
yeah.
them. Because it's just, you know, if their parents found out, they'd be brought back home and they couldn't go to college anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, or they might be cut off completely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's dangerous. So we salute these folks and thank you for
thank
what you.
You
do. And good luck to your
thank you.
Folks, to your parents, the Braxtons.
Excited.
Yeah.
Jim and Sue Noel actually nominated them, and they called mm-hmm. Mom up and asked, could we nominate you? And that and Gordon and Blake Weiser, the
yeah.
four of them nominated him. And
mm-hmm.
Mom was like, absolutely, yeah, it's an honor to be, especially from them, for the four of them asking.
Yeah. Yeah, those are pretty high profile
right.
folks there.
Oh, God bless Blake Weiser. She'll just keep going.
Ah, yes. Yes, she will. Okay, do we have a piece of music?
Sure do.
What?
Got Jay Spears set up.
Oh, good.
Want to hear some Jay?
I love Jay Spears.
All right, then. Here we go.
He went away, and you hung around and bothered me every night. And when I wouldn't go out with you, you said things that weren't very nice. My boyfriend's back, now you're gonna be in trouble.
Hello.
Cut out on the double.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
You've been spreading lies that I was untrue.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
Look out now, 'cause he's coming after you.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back. Hey, he knows what you've been trying, and he knows that you've been lying.
He's been gone for such a long time. Things will be fine.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back.
You're gonna be sorry you were ever born.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's
he's
back.
He's kinda big and he's awful strong.
Hey la, hey la, my boyfriend's back. Hey, he knows I wasn't cheating. Now you're gonna get a beat. What made you think he'd believe all your lies?
Gonna save my reputation.
Hey la, my boyfriend's back.
If I were you,
I take a permanent vacation. Hey, la, hey, la, my boyfriend's back. Hey, I can see you coming. Now you better start a running. Wait and see. My boyfriend's back. He's gonna save my reputation. Hey, la, hey, la, my boyfriend's back. La, hey, la, my boyfriend. Look out now. My boyfriend's back. My boyfriend's back. What were you thinking? Cause you're gonna get a spanking right now. Yeah, 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 yeah. My boyfriend's back. My boyfriend's back. Yeah, my boyfriend's back. My boyfriend's back. My boyfriend's back.
Well, we're having a little technical difficulty with that one. Let's see if Jimmy's ready in there.
You're almost ready, ready.
Okay. Why don't y'all chit-chat while you finish getting ready?
Oh.
That song completely screwed up in there.
Yeah, what was that about?
I think there's something on the CD.
Oh, okay. Well, he's almost there.
Yeah, I'm almost there.
Gigi's here. And what are you going to talk about tonight?
Well, tonight I'm going to go over some things about creating a safe sex environment,
mm-hmm.
and getting into kind of the bit of magic and...
Oh, yes. I've seen that picture.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Gigi has been with After Hours for many, many, many years.
Uh-huh.
Many years, starting out with the bi group. And then Gigi kind of morphed into...
the...
radical
sex.
Fairies, sacred sex, kind of, all these kind
paganism,
of... paganism. Yeah, all this kind of stuff.
And I've always been into the BDSM thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, when Gigi comes on, we just let Gigi do whatever Gigi wants to do.
Oh, yes.
Because we know it's going to be different.
Oh, yes.
We're not going to hear... whatever Gigi's talking about, you're not going to hear anywhere else. We're going to talk about...
And actually, I wrote all this from this playroom I've created now.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, what I'm looking at is creating a whole new realm.
Okay.
Creating an environment where people are able to join together and discover a whole new realm in BDSM play.
Okay.
I've gone to so many play parties where it's kind of, it's fun, it's BDSM,
mm-hmm.
but this takes it to a whole nother level.
Okay.
Have you ever, well, I think I've talked a little bit about the book Radical Ecstasy
mm-hmm.
on this show.
Yes, you have.
And it's taking BDSM to a whole new dimension.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
Basically, it's in every known religion, known to man,
mm-hmm.
there's been a subsect that gets into some form of BDSM activity to reach a higher consciousness, to reach kind of that closerness to a god or a goddess.
Okay. Okay. So how does that differ... from regular BDSM, I mean, because we're talking about endorphins, aren't we?
It's partly that, but it's also, I think, intent.
Mm-hmm.
And let me kind of go through a few things. One of the things I've come up with, and it's kind of based on Maslow's model of self-actualization.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I came up with this, coined a new term called sexual actualization.
Oh.
And it's delving deeper, learning more about how our sexual bodies work, learning how to studying things like the Kama Sutra, the Taoist techniques, and learning how to channel energy through the chakras, especially sexual energy. And combining it with BDSM activities makes it so intense. I've actually had experiences where I felt the energy flowing from the root chakra, which is the genitals, all the way up through and out of the crown chakra.
So are you talking about combining sex with BDSM?
BDSM, sex, and spirituality.
Okay.
Spiritual techniques.
Okay.
But before we get there, I think some of the roadblocks to that in our culture is the taboos we face.
Yes.
And I bring this up from the book Anal Pleasure and Health, A Guide for Men and Women.
No, by Moran.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was written so long ago, and it's still the Bible.
Oh, it is.
You know?
But he writes, taboo is a form of psychosocial control more potent than even the most rigid moral code. A taboo is a prohibition collectively shared by society with a force so strong that it is rarely questioned or even discussed. It just is.
Yeah.
And we have so many of them in our culture around sexuality.
We do.
And they're never discussed or rarely discussed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I discuss them all the time here, but but that's a little different.
But in general society, yes, it's not discussed.
And so, for me, part of the first step in sexual actualization is breaking the taboos we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember once I had a boyfriend, and he actually set the intent to break a taboo for me. And it was with golden showers.
Okay.
And by the end of the play scene, he actually urinated in my mouth. And it was just incredible. All these layers of everything that we're not supposed to do just fell apart.
Yes.
And all of a sudden I became open. It opened me up in a whole different way.
Wow.
Where I could all of a sudden be free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's powerful stuff we're talking about. Things breaking that kind of rigid moral code. We have very little freedom in sexual expression. And when you think about it, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit because I wrote this and I'd rather read it than try to do it from memory. Let's see. Through the process of psychosexual healing, and I think that's what happens when we break a taboo.
We have psychosexual healing?
Yeah, because all of a sudden that weight and all that shame and all that stuff that tells us we can't do things just falls away.
Okay.
And then there's this healing process that occurs because all of a sudden we taste that freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like this sense of just all of a sudden opening a whole new door. We all live in a sex-negative culture in which psychosexual healing would be a benefit. Often we monitor our behaviors, even subconsciously, unconsciously, especially around sexual expression, acting as our own personal enforcer of a morality which is based on someone else's definition of ethics. In our culture, sex equals sin. In ancient cultures, in the ancient earth-based religions, sex equaled sacred.
Yes.
And that's coming to sexuality from very different directions.
Yeah.
So in our culture, shared moral code is heavily influenced with arcane strictures laced with sex equals sin mentality. And that's what's behind many of the taboos we face. And so I started looking at the dynamics.
Well, I mean, just, I'm thinking here to myself, because I'm trying to relate it to my more vanilla world than yours.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's been times I've been with a lover, and, I've wanted to do something sexual with them that we've never done before, and that may be something a little different.
A little risky.
And I was afraid to.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid of what they might think of me because I wanted to perform this act.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is, you know, it's something as benign as, I don't know.
In our culture, anything can be, just about anything around sex can be a taboo unless you're doing it to make a baby.
And I didn't feel strong enough to talk to them about it.
Yeah. And so that's part of the healing process.
Mm-hmm.
It heals some of those fears. Because where does the fear come from for you when you think about it?
I don't know. It's just there. It's that people are going to think bad of you if you want to think this way or do this or perform this act.
And think about were you ever in an art class as a kid?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, grade school art class. Yeah.
Yeah. And how did you feel about really becoming creative and letting your creative energies flow?
Well, I tried, but I wasn't really good at it.
Yeah. And so we think, if I'm not good at it, I'm not in the running.
Oh.
And the same thing works in sexuality. If this is something new, I know I'm not going to be good at it, so I'm not even in the running.
True. Yeah.
And that's part of where the fear comes from, I think, is that we, and this happens so fast in our brain, we're rarely consciously aware of this thinking process that occurs.
Sure.
And so all of a sudden, we shut ourselves down before we even reach the starting line.
Mm-hmm.
And taboo is one of the things that really is a powerful force acting and overshadowing all of this.
You're right.
And that's where breaking taboo becomes a healing, powerful force for us instead of against
us. It's breaking down doors.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about where you can go with once you start getting into some of these things. Let me back up here. To start with, once you kind of start freeing yourself and finding the freedom to play, then you can open the door to learning and self-development.
Mm-hmm.
The process of sexual actualization includes learning and practicing advanced human sexuality. Actually studying it a little bit.
Oh.
And discovering new forms. There are things from other cultures that date back thousands of years and have been developed and refined and researched,
mm-hmm.
that really work well. Things like the tantric sex and Taoist sexual techniques and the Kama Sutra were all based on training someone to be a more open sexual being.
Mm-hmm.
In our culture, it's kind of pushed away, and although in the 70s, I think that helped open.
That really helped. We went beyond the missionary position.
Yeah,
the 70s kind of did help that along, and made oral sex rather common.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, it was a huge taboo.
Mm-hmm.
oral sex.
Yeah.
And today you say that to somebody who's under 30 and they look at you like you're crazy.
Well, in the process of sexual actualization, one is able to experience a variety of types of orgasms. Females can learn how to have ejaculatory orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
Males can learn how to have full body and multiple orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm even able to have multiple ejaculatory orgasms on rare occasions.
My God.
I mean, I shoot, and then it subsides for a few minutes, and I keep stroking, and then it starts shooting again.
My goodness.
Yeah. So these things can be developed. At higher levels, one can experience a spiritual sexual ecstasy, learn how to channel erotic energy for rituals and for groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn how to practice the art of sex healing.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of sex healing through the work I do in temple.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all wounded from living in a sex-negative culture.
We are.
And think about body image. I have so many people come to me and go, you know, I've had even these gorgeous men and women come to me and
with bad body image.
And so just ugly. Perfect.
Yeah.
And I go, like, darling, you're anything but ugly. And that's a wound.
Sure it is.
It's taking a microscope and looking at oneself through this lens. It's
if anything, it's worse because they spend their whole lives perfecting their bodies to become absolutely perfection, and it never happens to them. They look in the mirror and they see an ugly person.
Uh-huh. And part of what's happening here is that we live in a culture, even though we live in a sex negative culture that says sex is sin, sex equals sin, we're constantly enticed sexually.
Oh, absolutely.
Through everything. Media, through...
I think because...
And so we're getting
we're,
this...
We're GLBT. We kind of... Maybe we don't look at sex quite as negatively as straight people do.
Right.
Because being GLBT, sex for us is recreational.
Yeah.
For straight people, sex is procreational.
Yeah.
And so we come at sex from two different places.
Right. And by looking at it as recreational, you're taking that first step towards getting away from sex equals sin to sex equals sacred.
Yes.
And I think and that's where... You know, it's that first little step towards there.
I feel so grateful that I learned that step very early in life.
Me too. From there, one of the things that I find very powerful in BDSM is role play.
Mm-hmm.
And through role play, you can explore different aspects of one's persona.
Yes.
Think about theater. And actors.
Yeah.
When you go to see a play and it's very moving.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you're exploring what moves you is it's awakening part of a persona that may be very buried within you.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it wouldn't affect you much.
Yeah.
You know, something can't affect you if it's not somewhere inside.
That's true.
One, through role play, you can explore the dark side of our sexuality and emotions in a safe environment, heal the wounds from living in a sex-negative society, and enhance the BDSM experience with the psychosexual drama.
Mm-hmm.
In ancient Greek culture, they used
to... psychosexual drama. What are we talking about here?
Oh, goodness. Think of a drama queen.
Okay.
You
got a mirror.
And think of a drama queen's relationship going bad.
Okay.
That's
there we go.
One type of psychosexual drama.
Okay.
You know.
So I interrupted you. You were saying going back to the Romans.
Oh, to the Greeks.
Greeks.
When they went to theater.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't passive. They were very active
audience. I've heard that.
They'd get down, pound the floor.
Yeah.
They'd during tragedies, they'd pull their hair out. They'd wail. They'd beat their chest. and just have this cathartic experience. Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of
Well, they didn't have psychiatrists.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe that's... They didn't need them.
They didn't need them. Yeah.
So part of role play can help us reach that catharsis. Then passion comes into play. This is one of the ingredients. And I'm going to go over a lot of ingredients to help awaken and really fully bring us forward. Passion can take many forms. Passion drives us and transforms us into a richer meaning. Think about it. When you fall in love and you have that burning passion, all of a sudden it's just that much more. Without passion, it would be...
Yeah, it would just be...
Oh-hum.
Yeah.
The next thing that comes into play is what I call primal energy. Primal energy is linked to our genetic memory. As we raise primal energy, we are linking to a line of ancestors, which takes us to the roots of ancient human existence. We connect to the forces of raw energy. We leave the niceties of the modern world and transform into the beast which lurks deep in the subconscious. Through art, poetry, and performance art, there are avenues to get in touch with our heritage. Often art and performance art can stir up these primal forces within us. A good performance can bring us to experience catharsis. Catharsis purges us and allows us to be rid of all the emotional baggage we carry from living in a sex-negative culture. And do you see some of the building blocks
here? Yes, I do.
From there, step into emotional edge play. Emotional edge play is when you start really pushing those limits on an emotional level and exploring a little deeper. In our society, we kind of think of emotions as either good or bad. And actually, emotions are not good or bad. It's what we do with those emotions.
True.
If you get angry and you go out and beat someone up, that's a negative thing.
Yes, it is.
If you get angry and decide, oh, we need to change the world, and direct that anger into social change.
There we go. That's good.
It's what anger itself is neither good or bad.
It's what you do with it. Sure.
But in our culture, we're taught to bottle it up and to hold it in because we think of anger as a bad emotion.
Yeah.
And so when we bottle it up and we keep bottling it, eventually the lid's going to blow off. And that's when people turn to violence and to other things. So in emotional edge play, what you're doing is opening that bottle up and letting some of these darker emotions out in a safe environment, in a controlled environment, to where you can cleanse yourself.
Okay.
And that's part of the psychosexual healing process. Through the process of psychosexual healing, we can open the door to become fully functioning sexual beings, free of self-imposed influences of social stigmatization. We can often monitor our behavior, acting as our own personal enforcer. By working through this healing process, all of a sudden we don't have to hold back when you have a consenting play partner to play with. Too many times we get into a situation when we want something, and you brought this up earlier, Jimmy, about where I want to try something new, but I'm too afraid to ask my partner because they might think badly of me. By facing these fears and overcoming them and working through some of these things of this is what you should do or shouldn't do, all of a sudden you free up and you can explore things, new things, and take it to a whole different level with your partner. And also listen to some of your partner's ideas of what they want to do, that they want to try out. And with this process, I think it's important to realize that this is explorative, it's experimental. There's not a right or wrong, good or bad about it. It's explore it and see where it goes. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But if you don't try, you never will know. The next step is learning, and I think this is something that BDSM really helps me with a lot. Too often I'm stuck in the rational side of my brain. Everything adds up as an equation. And usually it's got control. Rational thinking is based in logic and scientific method. And one of the ways to shut down the rational side of the brain is to trick it. And so you give it paradoxes. And you do a role play that where there isn't, you can throw out the equation, but the equation won't add up. And then all of a sudden, the rational brain just kind of shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happens, we get into the intuitive side of the brain. Intuitive thinking is based in feeling and influences our spirit. Intuitive thinking is not logical and does not add up as an equation. With intuitive thinking, we enter the realm of dreams and non-material properties.
Yeah, that's such a... Because you can't always trust it either.
Uh-uh. And especially with something like love.
Mm-hmm.
Love is not an equation.
No.
It doesn't add up.
No.
It comes from the intuitive
side. It's not
side.
Logical. And it may go bad.
Yeah. And by doing certain things, there's many different things in BDSM roleplay you can do to help shut down the rational side.
Mm-hmm.
One is humiliation and what I call the humiliation self-esteem paradox. In many quests, there is an ordeal that the protagonist must face to accomplish the quest. It is an interesting phenomenon to experience an ordeal, something bad that must be faced and experienced before the quest, something good, can be achieved.
Oh.
I've discovered that a similar phenomenon occurs in the process of humiliation play.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ordeal.
Yes.
Which builds the self-esteem of a submissive, often the unstated quest.
Well, because going through the humiliation, like you said, that kind of breaks down the taboo, and it is a catharsis, and
uh-huh.
You know, all this kind of stuff is happening.
And that's these dynamics at work.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we face our inner monsters, the fears,
yeah,
the things that hold us back and keep us from really living a full life. And this paradox of going through something bad to reach something good, that gives a hint that somewhere magic is at play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we start getting into that spiritual, into
okay.
the intuitive realm.
Okay.
And that's part of what I'm talking about through this process of sexual actualization,
mm-hmm.
is being able to get out of the rational when we get involved sexually and into the intuitive side. And when you can get into the intuitive, all of a sudden sexuality opens up into a whole new realm.
Mm-hmm.
And many things are possible once you get there. All of a sudden, you can do things that you'd never dreamed possible. Because we've always approached it as an equation. You know, you
yeah.
stick it in, you go in and out, and it pops.
And there you are, yeah.
But sex can be so much more than
mm-hmm.
that. one of the things, I mean, magic is very powerful in and of itself. When you look at it, and sex magic even gets even more powerful. It's one of the more powerful things that I've ever discovered. It's interesting to note that many of the magic symbols are things like wands, staves, the cup, chalice, and vessel. And the wands and staves are phallic symbols.
Mm-hmm.
The cup, vessel, and chalice are symbolic of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And
excuse me.
Mm-hmm. In many ancient religions and cults, the waters of life, which is basically female ejaculate mixed with male semen, are considered to contain the gift of eternal youth and eternal life.
Oh.
And the way you, in the ancient traditions, they went through different rituals to get a woman aroused in the right ways to where she will ejaculate.
Yeah.
And the man makes love to her, inseminates her.
Yes.
Right before she ejaculates.
Okay.
And then they had this vessel that would collect the fluid as she ejaculated.
Mm.
And then they'd pass the cup around.
Oh.
And this was considered a very powerful form of magic.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, that's kind of the mythology around it. So there, and this is just touching on a few little things in sex magic. I mean, sex magic goes much deeper if you study it a little bit.
Books on it, yes.
I mean, that could be a show in and of itself. But these are just some of the keys that I've kind of put together that help bring us to this point. The next step is learning about spiritual essence.
Mm-hmm.
The realm of the spirit is found in our inner headspace. It is here that we fly during an intense BDSM scene. It is in our headspace that we experience an out-of-body experience. We see visions in this space. We enter into trances in our headspace. This is the space of spiritual essence. It's not in the physical world. It's in
the mental.
In here. Yeah.
Because that's where sex is.
Radical ecstasy is a journey into the spiritual aspects of BDSM. I've had play partners in the past who have joined me in this journey, and we've had some amazing experiences. And that's really kind of the key point to all this. Is
Radical ecstasy.
Yeah. That's the book that I was talking about. The authors kind of share, because it's so hard for us to put into words, they share a lot of stories on how they achieved radical ecstasy in their BDSM play.
Yes.
And so the whole kind of focus is to set the intent to start exploring this whole other side.
Yes.
This intuitive side of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And to use all these tools that are offered in BDSM to help get us there, to where we can fly. And, you know, in ancient Greece, ambrosia was considered the food of the gods.
Yes, it was.
But when humans ate it, it was said that they would become godlike, and or become gods or goddesses.
Oh.
And that one of the effects of human eating ambrosia was they would reach this state of ecstasy.
Mm.
And so I think that's part of, and think about when you're in a state of ecstasy, the whole world transforms. You don't see it the same way you do when you're in your normal life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything's much more intense. Much more full of passion and full of life.
Gotcha.
So anyway, that's pretty much the building blocks of really kind of developing this whole sense. I do have a list of some of the deities from ancient cultures, mm-hmm. and this is only a partial list, for those that really want to kind of incorporate some kind of symbology or follow a path with certain deities. And I can never pronounce this one well, but it's Agdistis is the bringer of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Lilith is pure dark lust.
Yes.
Baphomet is the god of sacred perversions.
Ooh.
Dionysius is the she-man, ladyboy.
Mm-hmm.
Ariadne is the goddess of the labyrinth. And Hermaphroditus is a divine androgen.
Yes.
Androgynous.
Yes. Yes.
There's many others, but these are some that I came across in a really good book. It's called Hermaphrodites.
Hermaphrodites?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hermaphrodites by Raven Calderera.
Wow. That book would actually, it must have been impressive to you.
Oh, yes. It's a, well, you know, my history being a hermaphrodite.
Yeah.
But in many creation myths, the first being was a hermaphrodite. Yes. Who had sex with themselves and gave birth to, fertilized themselves and then gave birth to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so this goes through many different, not only creation myths, but many different myths throughout time and many different practices
mm-hmm.
through the ancient world that were performed by either trans people or hermaphroditic people.
There we go.
And it's just has a lot of, I mean, I like the way he did the book because he's got exercises in it.
Oh.
He's got different things you can do for your community,
mm-hmm.
different projects. He's got rituals to perform, just a wide assortment of things surrounding this whole kind of gender bending sex play thing.
Okay.
And I think gender bending is another thing that really kind of helps us to really fully develop. When we get too fixed into being a male or a female, it becomes too rigid. I mean, what is a male? What is a female? We all start out as one. And we each have a little bit of both in us.
And it kind of reminds me, every once in a while you hear about some male athlete who it comes out that they have taken a quote-unquote female role
mm-hmm.
in sex, you know, with their girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, because this man has broadened his horizon sexually, he's looked down upon.
Yeah.
That taboo thing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, me and Jay have discussed this many times, just coming from a bi perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We notice that, you know, for a woman to have sex with another woman, it's not looked as down upon as for a man to have sex with another man in
our
culture.
That's right.
And part of it is that, I think, is that for a woman to have sex with another woman, it's looked like a power step up for both women.
You
but
think
for
that?
A man to have sex with another man,
it's definitely a step down.
It's looked at as a step down.
Yes. Yes.
And the reason, I think part of the reasoning is, and it's not altogether conscious thinking, it's more, I think, some of the dynamics behind the scene. For a woman to have sex with another woman, in our society, it's looked at as one of them's going to play the male role. Or both of them are, to some degree. You know. And so they're making that step up into power.
Because in some form or fashion, each one will be inserting into the other. So they're taking, that's the thought of taking the male role when you're inserting. But for two men, at least one of them is going to be on the receiving end, at least one. And so then that's looked down upon.
And so it's this power dynamic.
Oh, yes. And it always
which is kind of silly.
when you mix power and pleasure, it just they don't belong together.
Yeah.
Unless you were talking about BDSM, but then it's all
play. That's a power exchange.
But it's in as play.
As play.
But otherwise, when you use sex for power.
Yeah.
There's just something not right there.
Yeah. And what I find kind of interesting, I notice in the BDSM, some of the stereotypes of BDSM players, the big, powerful businessman playing a very submissive role.
Oh, yes.
Or...
yes, you see that many times.
The secretary becoming the mistress. It's playing with some of these power dynamics, but a lot of times when people get to that point where they have that much power, all of a sudden they're lacking something. That sense of, I need to be powerless sometimes. I need to not be in control of everything at some point.
Yes.
And I think that's part of the dynamics behind
Absolutely.
It. Is that, and the Greeks I love Greek culture because they had so many insights to things. But one of the things that the Greeks used to really philosophize about was everything in moderation.
Yes, everything in moderation.
And
yes.
When you get too much of one thing, it throws us out of balance. So anyway, one of the things I'm looking to do, with the sex temple and with some of the other work I do, one of the things I'm looking at is forming a group that wants to, small intimate group, that really wants to fully explore and see where we can go with these tools if we really set the intent as a group.
Really?
Yeah. And really push the boundaries, push the limits a little, and in a consensual, safe environment, and see where we can take one another.
Yeah.
Through ritual, through play, through... I mean, I've been doing a lot with temple, with rituals, having the stag hunt in the spring, and some kind of darker form of ritual in the fall, and those have been very enlightening for a lot of
people.
And very powerful. But I want to take it to the next step.
I see.
So anyway, I guess I've covered pretty much all I wanted to go over tonight.
Okay.
I know we're getting close to the...
Boy, you sure are. Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, did you have any... thoughts or
no? I just have to
all of this,
let this
I know,
sink
it
in.
Needs to process.
Yes,
I throw a lot of information
you do.
Out here. Sometimes.
You do.
But
and sometimes I don't get a lot of it, but I get pieces of it, and then the next time we do it, I get another piece.
And this is something I've been working on gradually, even on After Hours.
Yes.
I've been bringing a lot of these concepts.
Yes, you've been refining it over the years.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it is, I'm looking into... I look at this as a whole new frontier. It's never been explored in our culture. Something that's really totally radical.
Well, yes. Yes.
And, you know, we're supposed to live in the land of the free, and yet we're so sexually...
But not that free.
We're so sexually inhibited through fears and taboos and through all the social programming.
Social and religious programming, yes.
Yeah, and then we get these enticements to... And it's kind of an interesting dynamic how the enticements work. They're kind of set there so that there's no way, but you can't be aroused and you can't fall down to this, quote, sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a way to keep people beating on themselves, going, oh, I'm so bad because I've been enticed and I went off and jerked off and or did something,
or something
with somebody. Yeah. And I'm such a bad person now. And,
oh,
and all this way, you know.
It's sex, honey. It's just sex.
So, I like to bring these things out from a whole different viewpoint and say, let's look at this differently.
And I'm glad you do, and that's why we have you here to do that.
Because once we start looking at it and see the dynamics and expose it for what it is...
Mm-hmm.
Then we can become free again.
That's right. That's
but it takes questioning. It does. When you don't question something, you live in the dark ages. You live in ignorance.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is the root of sexual actualization. It's to question, to explore, to experiment, to try new things. Even if they fail. I've tried many things that...
This is not going to work. Okay.
But then I knew that. Oh, this doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Doesn't work for my partner. And so we try something new.
Exactly.
And then we start finding little hints of, here's the direction I want to go.
Ah. Okay.
But it is trial and error because we don't get a manual, you know, when we're born.
No
sex manuals, and we certainly don't get a good sex education.
No, we don't.
And so we're kind of left in the dark.
I think we, all of us.
And so I think we do.
Learn about sex on our own through experimentation and trial and error.
Yeah. And I think.
So why stop when you get to a certain point? Keep going.
But I think it's amazing that we're able to accomplish what we can sexually through all the ignorance.
Yeah.
That we're left in.
Yeah. Well, some of us more than others.
Some more than others.
You know, it's hard to break through some of the taboos.
And I'm thinking of the life process.
Yeah.
When I was just coming of age, I was so in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I had something in between my legs that was raging, but...
Oh,
our time is giving out.
Yes, it is. Sorry. Hello there.
Hello, Jimmy.
How much time do we have left?
Just a couple minutes.
Okay.
Got us a song to go out on and then the PSAs.
Okay. Well, Gigi, thank you for being here. And we'll see you next month.
And don't go away too quick. I got something else to show you.
Okay.
Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pasale. Mary is already here.
Ooh, good.
We'll be back next week. It's going to be a crazy show. Tea Talk. We'll be here. And
G-Cam will be here.
And whatever's left of us from participating in Louie.
Yes. Oh, my.
Should be an interesting week.
It should.
Yes. So we'll be back next week. Hopefully you'll join us. What are we going out with?
We're
going
to go out with Robert German. We're going to listen to Follow Me Home.
Okay.
This is KPFT Houston.
It was a quarter to five.
I was dressed to the nines. It was a quarter to five.
You were standing on the platform waiting for the train to arrive.
You were standing on the platform waiting for the train to arrive.
When I saw your pretty face, I had to grab the pole to
raise my fall.
Had to grab the pole to raise my fall.
She touched her nose, then touched the pole. I think this pole has touched it all. Two more stops, then I'll be home.
Two more stops, and I'll be home. Two more stops, and I'll be home.
Climb up the stairs, turn out the light, crawl into bed and fall asleep alone. Climb up the stairs, turn out the light, crawl into bed, fall asleep alone.
Climb up the stairs, turn out the light.
Climb up the stairs. You can follow me home, boy. Say now, you can follow me home. If you'd like to get to know me just a little bit more, you just gotta knock on my door. If you'd like to get to know me just a little bit more, you just gotta knock on my door.
KPFT is soliciting nominations for listener members to our program council. The KPFT Program Council is an advisory body founded to give broader community input on programming. KPFT is seeking 6 listener members to participate in the program council. Visit kpft.org to apply now and make plans to attend the Wednesday, March 18th local station board meeting, location to be posted, where your nomination will be discussed and voted on. At kpft.org, you can find full information about the program council. You can also submit your own nomination. Don't forget to attend the March 18th local station board meeting, location to be posted at kpft.org. To speak to the board, which votes on your nomination. KPFT encourages members of our diverse listening audience to get involved. Women, people of color, youth, you're invited and encouraged to apply. Visit kpft.org for information about the program council. KPFT, Houston.
Program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.